This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network, which includes the Erotica Podcast, Erotica Sci-Fi and Fantasy, Erotica Loving Wives, the Spotify podcast Erotica Taboo, and the E.P. Non-Erotic Podcast. Both the Erotica Podcast and the Erotica Taboo Podcast offer bonus episodes for as little as $2 per month. Links for everything are in the podcast description. This podcast contains mature content and is intended for an adult audience only. It contains explicit words, thoughts, and ideas. The content of all stories is fiction with any similarities to real people or events being purely coincidental. This podcast is not intended for anything but entertainment of the listener, and if you do not agree with the themes listed in the tags, please do not listen to the story. All characters engaging in sexual relationships or activities are 18 years old or older. This story was found on a free website and brought to audio form here. I did not write and take no credit for this story. Please visit the link in the comments to further support this author. Susan's Corporate Servitude by George VI. Chapter 1. Introduction, Susan's Predecessor. Marcia jumped when the phone in her cubicle rang. With a feeling of dread, she picked the handset off the cradle. "This is Marcia." "Yes, Byron, I'll be right in." Her heart sank. As if being marched into a prison camp, she stood up and stiffly walked towards Byron's office door. She could hear his voice behind the door, and she opened it without knocking. Byron was sitting on his desktop, talking on the phone. The 50-year-old short, slender, balding executive with the short-cropped beard looked up at Marcia and waved her in. The 35-year-old slender woman in the scooping satin blouse and short skirt closed the door behind her and timidly approached Byron. Without even pausing his loud phone conversation, Byron spread his dangling legs and simply pointed to his crotch. Knowing the drill, Marcia stood between Byron's legs and unbuckled his belt. She unsnapped his pants, unzipped his fly, reached into his briefs, and pulled out his all-too-familiar cock. As Byron continued his phone negotiations, Marcia reached out and stroked his cock to full hardness. Byron ran his free hand over her long, thick strawberry blonde hair one time, and then slid his palm down her exposed chest, into her blouse, and over her white lacy bra. His fingers slid into her bra cup, and he fondled her small left breast. When Byron released her hard nipple and withdrew his hand from her blouse, Marcia knew it was her next cue. She dropped to her knees onto the carpet, leaned forward, and placed her lips onto Byron's dick head. She slid her lips over the warm vein-covered shaft and sucked at a medium pace. Marcia heard the door open, and she glanced back. Her boss Gary closed the door behind himself, and he sauntered over to the desk. He appeared to listen to Byron's phone conversation for a moment. Then he casually unbuckled his belt, unzipped his pants, and dropped his slacks and his boxers to his ankles. After a few quick strokes of his own cock, Gary knelt behind Marcia. Marcia felt the cool air hit her bottom as Gary pushed up her skirt and exposed her naked, pantyless ass. She felt him slide his warm, dull cock over her ass crack a few times, felt him grabbing her exposed ass cheeks, and then she felt his fingers spreading open her pussy lips. His cock head was thrust into her pussy, which to Marcia's usual humiliation, was moist and slippery. Marcia grunted quietly when Gary pumped his cock deep into her pussy, slamming into her ass and knocking her slightly off balance. She managed to hang on to the cock in her mouth and keep sucking as she got fucked. "My God," she prayed silently. "How long can this go on? How many times do I have to go home to my husband with the taste of another man's penis on my lips? With somebody else's semen dripping out of my vagina? How often do I have to make excuses to him not to have sex before he figures out I'm getting ravaged almost daily at work?" She remembered the line from The Exorcist. "Your mother sucks cocks in hell." Marcia sucks cocks regularly in what feels like hell, and she didn't want her children to ever know about it. "Yeah, Gary just came in. Let me put you on the speaker," Byron said to the person on the phone. Byron put the phone down, and he and Gary continued a three-way conversation on the speakerphone, all the while filling Marcia's crevices with their cocks. Marcia now recognized the voice on the phone. It was Alex, a top client. Alex had also had sex with Marcia several times. The three men finished up their business dealings while Marcia took care of their physical needs. "Hey, Byron, you still have Marcia working there?" asked Alex.
"Yeah,"
grunted Byron. "She's right here. Marcia, say hi to Alex." As commanded, Marcia removed her lips from Byron's cock and said, "Hi, Alex."
"Ha ha, hi, Marcia."
Alex chuckled.
"Well, I can tell you guys are busy, so I'll let you get back to business. See you later."
With the phone business completed, Byron and Gary exchanged a few comments about the deal, and then became silent, finally paying complete attention to Marcia's efforts. Gary pumped her harder and faster, making loud slapping sounds as his pelvis banged into her ass.
"I have a meeting in 10 minutes, you better get a little tongue action going, Marcia," commanded Byron.
Marcia licked over Byron's dick head like it was an ice cream cone, and flitted her tongue over it rapidly. She licked her tongue down the shaft, and onto his hairy testicles. Byron's moan told her she had done well. Marcia returned to rapid cock sucking, and Gary banged faster and harder. Then came Marcia's next moment of shame. She knew that she was approaching an orgasm. She hated it when these two men she despised so much got her off, but she tried to suppress her feelings before to no avail. So this time she let her orgasm build. She moaned and whimpered, and thrust her bottom back to meet Gary's cock.
"She's gonna come soon, Byron, I can tell,"
chuckled Gary.
"Erg, me too,"
grunted the man sitting on the desk. Gary came first, shooting his jism into Marika's pussy. In turn, this began the final launch of Marcia's shuddering orgasm.
and while still jerking her way through that, Byron unloaded a wad of cream into Marcia's mouth. Marcia deftly swallowed nearly every drop of Byron's cum, not wanting to get it onto her face or clothes or hair. As Gary pulled his cock out of her pussy and stood up, Marcia leaned back and let Byron's cock slip out of her mouth. After a moment of panting and dizziness, Marcia stood up, smoothed her skirt down, and wiped some jism off her chin with the back of her hand. Byron and Gary zipped themselves up, and started right back on their conversation about the deal. Without a word from Marcia or an acknowledgement from the two men, Marcia silently crept out of the room, closed the door behind her, and headed to the bathroom to clean up, trying not to notice the knowing eyes on her in the hallway. Chapter 2. Susan gets promoted. For the most part, Susan Fonda was excited about her new promotion. With her husband having just returned to work after a lengthy unemployment, the large jump in pay was a godsend. And it appeared to be a wonderful opportunity for the 28-year-old liberal arts major, who had limped from one low-end clerical job to another since graduation 6 years ago. This new sales assistant job wasn't something she had been trained for, but apparently management felt that after 2 years with the company that she knew the business well enough. Plus, her predecessor Marcia's sudden announcement that her husband had accepted a job in another city left the sales department in a bind with so many contracts up for renewal in the next few weeks. She was told that this was a visible, high-pressure sales job, and she had promised to be tough and put in extra effort to keep old accounts and land new ones. The downside was that she never cared for Gary, her new boss. The chubby, slightly balding, 40-something Gary seemed like he spent all his time joking around and flirting with the women in the office. Several times over the past year or so he'd complimented her on her hair, or her outfit, in ways that told her he was looking at her in more than a business context. In fact, he once made what she considered an offensive comment to her, saying something like, "That's a nice sweater, Susan, it shows off your perky boobs." She couldn't get that, perky boobs, comment of her head. And she was afraid of Gary's boss Byron, a short, skinny, nasty man. Byron just scowled at her the way he did everyone, except that he seemed to stare at her body a little too long sometimes. Susan was aware that she was a sensitive woman, and knew she would have to toughen up to impress these men. Susan's first day in her new position was relatively uneventfully. Mostly she got her new cubicle organized, studied some sales brochures at Gary's request, and prepared several presentations. It was the second day, about mid-morning, that Gary called her into his office. "This afternoon Chuck and Frank are going to be in. They represent one of our biggest clients. I want you to meet them," ordered Gary.
"Sure,"
acknowledged Susan. "And then after the meeting, I want you to go out for some drinks and dinner with us."
"Okay? Yes, I suppose."
Actually, Susan was disappointed that she couldn't go home to her husband. But she really had nothing planned after work, and she didn't want to turn down such a request on her second day on the job.
"Later you will be working with them from time to time. But today I just need you to be agreeable, you don't have to hard sell, that's my job. I just want them to get to know you. Now Chuck and Frank are from the old school. They're old geezers and haven't even accepted women in management yet. Touchy-feely guys. So you have to put up with them even if they get a little obnoxious."
Susan wasn't exactly sure what Gary meant by that.
"Touchy-feely?"
Gary didn't exactly elaborate.
"Let me just say that no matter what, you can't risk offending these guys, they're that important to the company. You have to endure whatever they throw at you. But don't worry. They'll love your perky boobs."
There was that expression again. Susan felt her face getting flush. She instinctively glanced down at her white top, clinging tightly to her breasts. Her breasts aren't even that large. They did sort of stick out in a cone-shaped fashion in her current B-cup bra, but she didn't think the sweater was inappropriate for business. Susan took offense at the comment, but didn't know what to say. Another fault of Susan's that she was aware of was that she sometimes didn't speak up when she should. She didn't have time to verbally react to the perky boobs comment, because Gary kept talking and got back to business. But her mind wandered. Susan didn't even think of herself as overly attractive. Her face was pretty, with big brown eyes and full lips, but her nose wasn't perfect. At 5'5", she wasn't particularly tall. Her legs were nice but not particularly long. Her butt was just okay, she thought, and her stomach was flat, she was in good shape, and her long brown straight hair was full. Susan was confident in her appearance, but she didn't think of herself as someone who turned heads. Just an average, late-20s wife and office worker. When the conversation concluded, Susan stood to leave. She wished that she'd had some notice about the meeting and dinner, as she realized that she was dressed sort of casual. Along with her thin sweater, she wore a casual printed skirt that hemmed slightly above her knees, and didn't even have on pantyhose.
"Should I go home and change into something a little better?"
she asked her new boss. Gary came around his desk and put his arm around her.
"Nah, you look great. Just show them a little leg, and they'll love ya."
Gary gave her waist a little squeeze, and then opened the office door for her. Again, Susan was taken back by Gary's comment on her appearance, but again she didn't know what to say in return. And the arm around her waist. Is this the way he was going to treat her? Maybe he was testing her. Am I really up to this kind of wine and dine sales?
Toughen up, Susan,
she told herself. The meeting itself included Chuck, Frank, Gary and another member of the sales department named Terry. Susan was introduced to Chuck and Frank. They were, indeed, old, each looking gray, bespectacled, and in their 60s. Chuck was a little chunky, and bald. His shirt collar was too small for his neck, and flesh hung over his collar and tie. Frank was tan, spiffily dressed,
and his full head of hair appeared to have been sprayed into place. Susan ended up sitting next to Chuck at the conference table. Except for chiming in on a couple of product details, Susan said little during the meeting. The men behaved, with the possible exception of Chuck maybe staring down at Susan's legs a little too much. After the meeting, Gary drove the five of them to the restaurant. Somehow Terry ended up in the front seat, and Susan was seated between her two clients in the back. Susan had worn a light jacket to work, but left it behind so it wouldn't end up smelling like smoke from the lounge. During the drive, both Chuck and Frank took up more than their share of the sedan's back seat, pressing their thighs into Susan's. Susan's skirt hiked up from the constant rubbing, exposing more thigh than she liked. Chuck dominated the conversation in the back, but Susan caught both of the older men looking at her legs. Gary wanted her to show them a little leg. She didn't mean to, but she was. The quintet entered the crowded restaurant lounge and found a small lounge table with four stools. Susan was seated across from Gary and Terry, and was flanked by Chuck and Frank, who both said they preferred to stand. Gary and Terry quickly got into shop talk with each other, while Frank and Chuck both turned their complete attention to Susan, talking loudly in the noisy bar, their wrinkled faces inches from hers. Susan was not a heavy drinker, an occasional glass of wine was generally all she was good for, or maybe an occasional rum and coke. But on Chuck's and Frank's insistence, she joined them in several rounds of very, very strong mixed drinks. The first one should have steadied her nerves, but her nerves became continuously more frazzled as the two older men began to hit on her. Their conversation started out friendly enough, with a lot of questions about her personal life. But as the drinks kept coming, they went from semi-veiled flirtations to crude innuendos. Even worse was their touchy-feely demeanor. Chuck, on her left, started with the occasional touch of her arm. Then his right hand rested on the back of her stool, and then was placed on her waist. Then his left hand ended up touching her knee. On her right side, Frank was pressing his upper thigh into her leg, and she could feel the lump of his penis occasionally press against her. His left hand occasionally rested on her shoulder as he spoke to her, but his eyes mostly spoke to her chest. Chuck's and Frank's hands were all over Susan, who was trapped between the two men. Their conversation and their touching were relentless, and Susan, aware of what she considered her whining and dining duty, endured it. Chuck's left hand was halfway up her bare thigh over her skirt, Frank's right hand was on her other thigh, and both of them had their other hand on her shoulder and waist. Finally their table was ready, and they were summoned to the restaurant. As Susan slid off her bar stool, Frank gallantly let her walk ahead of him, only put his hand on her hip and run it down her ass, giving it a quick pat. The restaurant was even darker and nearly as loud as the lounge was. They were led to a round booth in the corner, and somehow Susan once again was stuck seated between the two boorish older clients. It was not a coincidence, it seemed. Gary and Terry sat next to each other and continued their private conversation, with only the occasional glance up from Gary. Yet another round of drinks was brought, even though Susan requested nothing. Each drink seemed to be stronger than the last. With an empty stomach, Susan knew she was quite intoxicated. Her senses were dull and her reaction time slow, but she was acutely aware of the touchy-feely hands that had returned to her body. Chuck was still on her left, and again his right hand was on her hip as he faced her, and his left hand was again on her thigh, this time pushing the hem of her skirt up under the table. Frank, on her right, put his whole arm around her and rested his left hand on her left shoulder. His right hand was on her bare flesh at mid-thigh. Keeping a smile on her face, Susan was bold enough to slide her hand under the table, place them on the two hands on her thighs, and gently push them away. This kept them at bay for a moment, but then Frank slipped his right hand under Susan's left armpit, reaching far enough around for his fingers to be grazing the side of her breast over her thin sweater and bra. Chuck's hand dropped down below Susan's hip, patting the top of her fanny. Susan tried to wiggle her way out of the hand grazing her left breast, then tried to push it away with her right hand. But in the meantime, two hands ended up on her thighs again, pushing her hem higher. Again she pushed the hands off her thighs, but Frank countered by moving his right hand up her waist, and grabbing a quick handful of her right breast. Chuck's right hand worked its way under her sweater and back, and she felt it roam over her bare back, over her bra. It was a battle, with Susan pushing hands away from one place, only to have another hand placed somewhere else. Susan looked at Gary for help, but he only smiled at her and nodded. Dinner was finally served, and everybody ate, but Chuck and Frank managed to eat with one hand on the table and one under it, stroking her bare thighs. Her skirt was pushed up so high that a quick glance under the tablecloth gave Susan a quick glimpse of her own white panty crotch. Susan tried to be tough and endure the groping, and in her intoxicated state wasn't able to think quickly or react enough to find a clever way out. As the hands under the table continued to squeeze her inner thighs, she was resigned to eat with both hands while she felt the hands move closer and closer to her crotch. When Chuck's little pinky grazed the edge of her panty at her crotch, Susan let it stay there a little too long before subtly reaching under the table and pushing it away. She tried to keep her legs pressed together, but soon Chuck's hand was back pressing against her panties. This time she left it there, rubbing her pubic mound over her cotton panties. Gary and Terry bought more rounds of drinks, ate slowly, and then ordered dessert while Chuck and Frank finished their meals and returned their complete attention to groping Susan. With knowing looks from Gary, she couldn't stop them. Frank's left hand was back around under her arm, freely squeezing her left breast. Chuck's hand relentlessly rubbed her pussy. Eventually they shifted positions. Now Frank's hand was tickling her panties over her crotch. And Chuck's left hand was under her sweater, feeling her left tit over her bra. Susan alternately tried to stop him, and then turned his way in order to hide the fondling from the restaurant staff. Susan kept trying to push the hands away without being offensive, but the hands kept groping and prodding. Chuck's fingers were attempting to work their way up inside the bottom of Susan's bra. While Susan fought off this attempt, Frank worked his fingers inside of her panties and roamed through her pubic hair. Susan had a fleeting thought of her husband, of what he would do if he knew his wife was letting two dirty old men fondle her in a restaurant. She felt ashamed, knowing she could never tell him about this. Chuck's hand managed to reach inside of her left bra cup from underneath, and he squeezed her bare tit and hard nipple. Frank rubbed her pussy rapidly, then worked his middle finger inside of her pussy. Susan realized that her pussy was soaking wet, and the finger found plenty of lubrication. Susan continued her endurance and inadequate defenses until Frank found her clit. The minute he touched it, Susan jumped. And then she was paralyzed as he diddled it rapidly with two fingers. At first Susan thought it was the liquor, but then she realized that she was dizzy because she was about to have an orgasm. She closed her eyes and tried to wish it away, but that only made it worse. She tried to subtly rest her head on her right hand with her elbow on the table. Terry and Gary didn't seem to notice it, but the other two men were looking right at her as her eyes rolled upwards. She shuddered and shook, bit her lips, and climaxed into a medium-sized orgasm. Susan leaned back onto the booth for a moment. Then said, "Excuse me, I have to get up," and practically pushed Frank out of the booth to get by him. Susan walked quite unsteadily to the women's washroom, threw the door open, found the small bathroom single stall, and collapsed into it. She silently wept, unable to compose herself for several minutes. The room was practically spinning from the alcohol, but Susan finally grabbed some toilet paper and began to mop up her pussy and her soaking wet panty crotch. When she had done a quickie job on them, she stood up, opened the stall door, and stood before the mirror over the vanity counter. Her makeup was a mess. She started the water in the sink, bent over, and washed her face. Susan heard the bathroom door open. Damn, she didn't lock it. Then her eyes focused on the bald, gray, short, chunky figure of Chuck. Susan gasped and turned towards him. Chuck quickly moved the several steps towards Susan, pushed her backside against the vanity counter, put his arms around her, and kissed her. Susan was in such a state of shock that she didn't react at all. She felt his hands rapidly roaming over her body, lifting her sweater up, raising her bra cups up to expose both of her jiggling tits, his lips suckling her right breast, pressing his hard crotch against hers all in a matter of seconds, it seemed on one level. But it also seemed like it was happening in slow motion, and despite her drunkenness, Susan was aware of every little detail, but somehow seemed mentally paralyzed and unable to react. Susan got her hands in front of her and pushed against Chuck's body. Chuck was not deterred. In less than 10 seconds, he somehow got his own pants opened, reached under her skirt, pulled aside her panties, and before Susan had any idea it was coming, the old man thrust the entire length of his cock up into her slippery pussy. She fell back, and her butt landed on the edge of the vanity. She reached back and caught herself, placing both hands on the counter behind her. Chuck was standing between her legs, forcing them wide apart, humping her rapidly like a horny dog. Susan was a deer in the headlights. She wiggled and gyrated a little, but otherwise was too shocked to offer any physical or verbal resistance. It was maybe only 3 minutes or so that she felt a gush in her pussy, and knew that Chuck had come inside her unprotected vagina. He slowed down his thrusts, and pulled his cock out from between her legs. Susan laid back, panting, watching Chuck pull up his pants and zip up his fly. Without a word, he smiled at her, turned, and exited the women's restroom. Chapter 3. Show me your perky boobs. Susan made it into work the next morning, despite a queasy stomach and a nasty headache. She had an important presentation to make to several of her company's executives, and needed to prepare and be at her best. In fact, she got up a few minutes early to put on her best business skirt and blazer, and take her time with her hair and makeup. The rest of the previous night went with no other serious incident. In one of the few slick moves she made all night, Susan had managed to jump into the front seat on the drive back to the office to pick up her car. She shouldn't have driven home, but she made it there and quickly showered away the evidence of Chuck's sperm, and passed out in bed next to her sleeping husband. Since 4 a.m. she had tossed and turned as she replayed the incidents of the night before. Another man had sex with her. He forced himself on her. But did she resist? She didn't hit him or run away. She didn't scream or fight as two men touched virtually all of her very private parts all evening, and then in the washroom she didn't even say, no, while being penetrated by another man's penis. It was rape. Wasn't rape. Rape. Not rape. Susan knew it would never stand up in court. She knew if she told her husband that he would be unsatisfied with her defensive efforts, and justifiably so. Susan chose to try to forget the incident ever happened. If Chuck didn't tell anybody else about it, nobody would ever know. But when Susan opened her email at her desk, there was a memo from Gary, with no subject. She opened it, and there was an attachment. Above the attachment, the text read, "I took this last night with my cell phone camera. Please see me." Susan clicked on the attachment. To her extreme horror, it was a photo of her and Chuck in the bathroom. Taken from behind Chuck and slightly to his left, Susan was up on the counter, with Chuck standing between her legs, his pants down to his knees, his big bare ass exposed, as he appeared to be humping Susan. Susan's legs were bare and spread wide around Chuck. Her sweater and bra were pushed up onto her chest, and her right breast was partially visible from the side. Susan's eyes appeared to be closed, and her head was thrown back. The photo wasn't real sharp, but there would be no doubt to anyone that knew her that it was Susan. Susan felt her skin crawl. Should she pack her belongings and get ready to be fired? Was Gary going to chew her out or punish her? She was afraid to see him. She spent an hour polishing this afternoon's presentation. Finally, not wanting to put it off any longer, she went to Gary's office. Gary's door was open. He was on the phone but waved her in. Susan took it upon herself to close the office door. Gary finished his conversation and hung up the phone.
There's my girl with the perky boobs.
God, I hate it when he says that.
I got really lucky with that picture. I happened to peek in the bathroom at just the right time, and the photo turned out pretty well. A nice action shot, don't you think?
Susan couldn't think of anything to say for a minute. With her head hanging down, she finally spoke.
He forced himself on me. I didn't hear you screaming, or see you fighting. A little writhing, maybe. I didn't know what to do, I froze. You don't believe me, do you?
It doesn't matter. The account is sewn up for another year.
Why, what did Chuck say?
He didn't say anything. But I emailed him this photo, too. He's a married man. He knows how the game is played. He knows I have this photo, and he'll give me all his business.
You're blackmailing him?
Well, implicitly. I told you, this is a mean business. I play dirty and I get what I want. And now I want something from you. Susan looked up.
What?
Quite the blockbuster photo I have. Did you tell your husband Bill what happened last night?
No.
He wouldn't understand. Especially if he saw this picture. I know where he works, I could email it to him right now.
No. What do you want from me?
Gary leaned back in his chair and paused.
Well, for starters, I'm dying to see those perky boobs.
Susan gasped at his gross proposition.
No.
She instinctively crossed her arms over her blazer to cover her chest.
You let Chuck and Frank play with them all night, but you won't even give me a little peek.
Okay then, I'll just send this picture right on over to Bill.
No.
Unbutton the blazer. Susan stood up. Her hands shook as she unbuttoned her blazer. When Susan opened the blazer, Gary saw what nobody else was supposed to see, a pristine white camisole-type blouse, scooping down and sleeveless, nearly transparent. Her white smooth molded brow was clearly visible underneath the thin fabric.
Pull up the blouse, commanded Gary.
Gary, please don't argue. Show me the goodies.
Okay, you bastard,
spat an incensed Susan in a wavering voice. But while she said it, fighting tears, she had already started to lift her camisole off. She crossed her arms and slowly lifted it over her bra above her head, pulling it through her long brown hair, and holding it in her right hand. Gary stared at his new employee in her little white bra, grinning at her chest.
Keep going. I can't wait.
Susan slowly pulled each of her thin bra straps down off of her shoulders. At home, she would have spun the bra around and unclasped it in front. But despite not wanting to give Gary the satisfaction of giving him a good show, for some unexplained reason she chose to reach back behind her, and unclasp the bra from the back. She then pulled the bra down from the front, and felt her breasts fall out of it.
Hello?
Gary moaned.
Oh, look at those babies.
Gary leaned forward and stared at Susan's two perfect conical tits. They jutted out from her chest, with just a little bit of a slope, but her nipples stuck straight out, and were capped by sizable puffy brown areolas. Susan stood with her arms to her sides holding her bra, her blouse on the chair behind her, sniffling and fighting tears, but trying to be defiant, not wanting Gary to know how humiliating this was for her. Gary stood up, moved around his desk, and approached her. Susan instinctively moved back, stumbling over the chair behind her, and then turning.
No. I gotta touch him.
No, said Susan, moving backwards.
I gotta feel those puppies.
No, whimpered Susan. But she had maneuvered herself back against Gary's desk, and he reached out and placed his cold right hand on her left breast. A momentary wrestling match incurred, with Susan trying to push her boss away, and Gary moving both of his hands around his employee's topless torso from behind her. Susan's lovely tits shook and bobbled as she squirmed and fought, and Gary grabbed and shook them. Finally, Susan surrendered. Turning and leaning against the desk, she allowed her boss to fondle her naked breasts. He tried to kiss her, and she threw her head back, but he caught her big lips and snaked his tongue into her as he felt her tits. Gary kissed her neck, then worked his lips down Susan's chest and landed on her right breast. He licked and sucked on it, making Susan's nipple puckered and hard as a rock, sending shivers through her body. He flitted his tongue over it as he held her in place against his desk. Gary moved his right hand down her waist, down the side of her skirt. He touched the top of her thigh just above her knee, Susan feeling his hand sliding over the roughness of her pantyhose. When he tried to move his hand under her skirt, she started a new round of wrestling.
No.
She moaned, trying to push his hand away. She stood up and moved away from the desk. Gary chased his topless employee completely around his desk one time, watching her tits jiggling the whole trip, before he caught her again. He got his arms around her, pressed her back against the desk, put his right hand on her inner thigh, and slid it up, forcing her skirt up with it. When his hand found her crotch, Susan let out a little squeal, before Gary pushed her over. Susan's back crashed down on the cold Formica desktop, and her legs splayed open. Her white panties were exposed under the diamond-shaped stitching of her pantyhose. Gary grabbed her crotch and held it. He rubbed Susan's pussy over her hose and panties while kissing her as she lied on her back, her legs kicking in the air. Despite her employment predicament and Gary's blackmail photo that she never wanted her husband to see, Susan instinctively fought for her honor. It wasn't a wholehearted defense, but she wasn't ready to just lay back and be assaulted like she was last night without feeling like she'd done something to stop it. But for the moment, the battle was over. She was topless on her boss's desk, he was kissing her and feeling her all over, and just like last night, she just took it.
At that point, Gary's phone rang. Gary, to Susan's surprise and relief, reached over and pushed the hands-free button.
Yes?
The voice of Carol, the front receptionist, responded.
Gary, I have Phil Lewin on the line. He's looking for Susan, he says it's urgent. Oh, okay, put it through here.
Phil was another one of the small handful of most important customers, someone Susan had been working with for some time. He was a pain in the ass, but his problems had to be resolved promptly. Gary stood up, and so did his topless assistant, blinking her eyes and trying to regain some composure. The phone rang again, and Gary pushed the hands-free button for Susan.
Hi, Phil.
She said in a slightly warbled tone.
Phil began to babble on about his delivery problem, and Susan started writing notes. She momentarily concentrated on her job and Phil's problem, attempting to forget that she was topless in her boss's office. But as she took notes and talked, she felt Gary's hands return to her breasts, this time from behind her. He squeezed both of her tits while standing behind her, as she leaned over the desk to write. Susan tried to bend over and move away from Gary. But his fingers squeezed her tits tightly, stroking and lifting them. Susan tried once to swat them away, and managed to get the hands off her. She concentrated once again on Phil's questions. Gary's hands rubbed Susan's ass over her skirt, squeezing her cheeks. Susan did a quick hula dance to try to throw them off, but was too preoccupied with Phil to mount a defense. Gary's hands ran under her skirt again, and rubbed her pussy. Susan bucked her hips once, but Phil wasn't happy with her answers. Gary unclasped Susan's skirt at the side and slowly zipped it down. He gently grabbed the waistband at each side, and pulled it down off her hips. Susan turned and gave him a dirty look, but he dropped the skirt down around her ankles, leaving Susan standing topless in just her white cotton panties and pantyhose. Gary ran his hands up and down Susan's legs over her hose. Then he grabbed the waistbands of both her pantyhose and her panties, and tugged them down together. Susan was being jostled by the tugging, but continued her conversation with Phil.
Yes, I agree, Phil, you should have received them yesterday. I can try to track them. Do you have enough to get through the day?
In the meantime, her bare ass was now out in the open, and her boss was crouching right behind it. Having exposed his assistant's bare ass, Gary yanked the hose and panties down her legs rapidly. Susan absent-mindedly stepped out of them and stood naked, still leaning over and writing notes and talking. When Gary grabbed her bare ass, the inflection in her voice went higher. Gary entertained himself with her butt cheeks for several moments, and then Susan felt a hand slide between her legs from behind and rub her furry pussy. She wiggled, but she thought she was close to resolving Phil's issue and wanted to get off the phone to stop her boss's groping. So a finger entered her pussy, and slid in without friction. Susan was soaking wet.
Yes, I'll deal with this personally.
Squealed Susan as she felt something else at her pussy slit. She looked back, and saw that Gary had his pants down, and was pressing his hips into her backside. Just like last night, his cock was in her before she knew it. Damn.
Uh-huh.
It was thick and stretched her out, but she was so lubricated that it was only mildly painful.
I know, Phil, we should be able to resolve, this with only a couple of phone calls.
Gary had Susan bent over his desk, and was fucking her doggy style rapidly. Susan had never had sex this way, and it was a new feeling. They made loud slapping sounds as Gary's hips banged into her bare ass, and Susan hoped that Phil couldn't hear it or didn't notice it. Gary groped Susan's dangling tits as he humped her.
Let me re-tee that down, Phil.
You said 20-0, right?
I'll have to get back act two while you.
Susan pushed the hands-free button to disconnect the phone, and thrust her hips back at Gary. She was in the middle of a minor orgasm, and it was building into a whopper of a big one.
Oh.
Gary grunted in her ear as he humped over her rapidly. He reached between her legs, and his right middle finger found her clit. He rapidly diddled it as he fucked her with his cock and groped her tit with his left hand. Susan grunted, squirmed, and gyrated her hips.
She bit her lip to try to keep herself quiet. The reserved wife thrashed about wildly, exploding in a major orgasm. She felt her boss shoot his wad deep into her pussy, and her knees buckled as she collapsed face down on the desk, panting, and drooling on the formica.
Chapter 4. The Conference Room. When her boss pulled his wet dick out of her pussy, Susan panted and cried as she collapsed in a chair. Too exhausted to move for several minutes, she watched Gary pull up his briefs and his slacks and straighten himself up. Then the grinning man picked up each of Susan's garments, inspecting each. He laid her skirt, blazer and blouse out over the arm of her chair. He looked at her bra, panties, and pantyhose, and stuffed them in his desk drawer. Susan gained enough strength to stand up and get dressed.
What about my undergarments?
She asked.
I'll keep them for the rest of the day. You won't be needing them.
I need panties.
Otherwise I'll, leak, your juice.
Very well, replied Gary.
He reached into his drawer. But instead of retrieving Susan's white cotton panties, he handed Susan a blue garment.
These belong to Marcia. They're almost clean.
Susan looked at her slender-hip predecessor's panties. They were blue silk thongs. Susan had never worn a thong, never had the inkling to purchase one. But the defeated employee knew not to argue with her boss anymore, that he held all the cards. Plus, she was in a hurry to get any clothes on her at all before someone entered the office.
Susan stepped into the thongs and pulled them up her legs. They were too small for her, but she pulled them up as high as she could. She saw her boss watching her as she threw her camisole over her braless torso, pulled her skirt up over her naked butt and zipped it, and slid into her blazer and buttoned it. She slipped her shoes on over her bare feet.
"Do you have your presentation ready for this afternoon?" Gary asked.
Yes, replied Susan, still in a daze.
"Then I'll see you at 1, replied her boss, and Susan let herself out. For the rest of the morning and through lunch hour, Susan tried to concentrate on her PowerPoint presentation for the meeting, but she had a hard time concentrating with all that had happened in the past 24 hours. She tried to put her assaults behind her, hoping that Gary was satisfied with having screwed her once. But he did still possess the photo that would destroy her marriage to the man she loved. She intended to get through this important presentation, and then she could work out her problems at home tonight. Susan felt funny sitting at her desk braless and in thongs. No one could notice, really, as long as she kept her blazer on, and hopefully nobody at the meeting would notice that she wasn't wearing hose under her best business suit. Susan arrived at the conference room 15 minutes early to make sure that the overhead projector worked. Gary and all of the other 5 sales executives arrived a couple of minutes late. Gary took a seat on one side of the wooden conference table, and Susan made a point of sitting on the opposite side, directly across from him. Susan was scheduled to make her presentation at the end of the meeting. For 30 minutes she sat among the 6 older reps, listening to them discuss various issues. She made a point of pulling her chair as close to the table as she could, so the men on either side of her wouldn't see that she wasn't wearing pantyhose. She felt something touch her knee. She realized that it was a foot. She looked across the table at Gary, who was grinning at her. He had taken his shoe off, and was playing footsie with her from across the table. The sock-covered foot was sliding between her legs up her bare thighs. Susan glanced from side to side. Nobody seemed to notice yet. She knew better than to disobey Gary. She allowed the foot to push her knees apart. The foot continued its journey up her thigh unimpeded, until it rested squarely on her silk panty-covered crotch. Susan could only sit and endure this intrusion while the others spoke. When it was finally time for Susan to present her proposal, she stood up, walked around to the other side of the conference room, and adjusted the lights. She dimmed the front lights, but the directional lights over the table still illuminated the room well. Gary stood up and whispered to Susan,
"It's hot in here, you don't need your blazer."
Immediately Susan figured out what he was up to. He wanted her to stand in front of the men braless.
"It's okay, I'll leave it on. Take the blazer off,"
he mumbled in a stern manner. Susan's heart sank, as the look in Gary's eyes told her to obey. Her hands shook as she unbuttoned her blazer for the second time that day. Susan knew what she looked like standing in front of the room with the lights from the overhead projector on her. She had seen herself without her blazer in the bathroom mirror earlier. Her white camisole was practically transparent. Susan knew that she was virtually topless, that her dark, larger-than-average areolas could be seen 100 feet away, and that the whole shape of her breasts and puffy nipples could easily be studied at close range by these men whose respect she was trying to win. Susan tried to keep calm and speak with a firm, confident voice. But now, instead of concentrating on her presentation and her material, she could feel her breasts swaying each time she leaned over to forward to the next slide, or back away and point to the screen. She felt like she was an exotic dancer, exposed and jiggling in front of a group of men. It didn't help that the sensation of her bare butt cheeks chafing against her skirt was new to her. She was humiliated, but she tried to act like everything was normal, that the men weren't all staring at her chest, and she soldiered on with her presentation as best she could. When she completed her presentation, she asked,
"Are there any questions?"
There was a moment of silence. Then Byron, the man that Susan was afraid of, known for being irritable in meetings, said,
"Yes, I have a question."
He paused for a moment.
"We can see that you don't care to wear a bra to work. But are you wearing panties, or are you going commando?"
Several of the other execs snickered. Susan was devastated. She had tried so hard to make a good presentation, to prove that she could fit in at this corporate level. And all the sales VP could do was make a remark about her breasts and ask a crude question, humiliating her in front of everybody. Susan's jaw dropped, her face went crimson, and her knees locked. The men all had a good laugh, and Susan stood there in silent humiliation, with nothing to say. She thought she was going to cry. She turned to go back to her chair.
"Susan," called Gary.
"You didn't answer the question. What are you wearing?"
Susan stopped, turned to the men, and mumbled,
"Yes, I'm wearing underwear."
"Prove it,"
said Joe, a fat bald man.
"Come on, Susan,"
commanded Gary.
"Prove it. Show them what you're wearing."
Susan couldn't believe that these men were treating a woman this way in this day and age. She thought the days of corporate pigs were over, but she'd learned the past 24 hours that there were plenty of pigs in her own company.
"Here,"
said Joe, standing up.
"Come on up onto the table and show us."
The others mumbled their encouragement. Susan didn't budge, couldn't. Then Gary said,
"The real thing is better than a picture."
She knew that he was referencing the photo of her and Chuck having sex. He was blackmailing her with that photo again. And she couldn't let that photo go public, no matter what she had to do behind closed doors. Joe grabbed Susan's arm. Susan slipped her shoes off, and Joe helped her step onto her chair, and she unsteadily climbed up onto the conference table. With her head nearly touching the ceiling, she stood at one end with the overhead projector lights shining on her body like a spotlight.
"Let's see, Susan,"
said Gary.
Susan grabbed the hem of her skirt and slid it up her thighs. She held the front of the skirt up by her hips, exposing her blue panty crotch to the businessman. She felt like some burlesque Kim dancer, showing her panties to a bunch of horny men. Byron said, "Take your skirt off. Let's get a good look." Susan looked at Gary, and his expression told her that she had to do as ordered by his boss. Her hands shook even more than they had this morning in Gary's office, so much that she had trouble unclasping the clasp on the side of her skirt. She fumbled silently in the spotlight, glancing down at the six men sitting in front of and to the side of her, in semi-darkness, helping the illusion that she was on a stage runway. Her trembling fingers slowly pulled down on her zipper, and the zipping sound could be heard throughout the room. Susan wiggled out of her skirt, shaking her braless tits as she tugged on one side and then the other as she pulled it off. She took it down to her knees, and then let it drop around her ankles. The men woofed and moaned as a late-20s wife stood before them bare-legged, modeling her tiny blue silk thong. The silky fabric was pulled tightly over her protruding pussy mound, being sucked up into her slit. Her waistline dipped down in the front, and the material barely concealed the woman's pubic hair. Her stomach was not washboard firm, but the effect of the married woman having just a little rounded bulge made her exposure all the more erotic. As Gary commanded, Susan was holding the hem of her camisole up to give the men a better view. "Just pull that blouse off, it ain't hiding anything anyway," said Mick, a man not much older than Susan. Gary's nod seconded the motion, and Susan crossed her arms and pulled her camisole off. She stood topless before the men in just her blue thongs, while the men made comments about her body. At least they were mostly positive notes. "Those tits are beauties, sweetie. Hot body, Susan." She was commanded to turn around to show off her ass, and that also met with unanimous approval. But now Joe pointed out that there was a wet spot growing at the bottom of her pussy slit. "She's getting off on this," he said. "Shit, yeah," said Mick. "You think she dresses like that if she ain't an exhibitionist?" "One more question on your presentation, and it's multiple choice," said Byron. As usual when Byron spoke, everybody else shut up. "Are you shaved, trimmed, or full bush?" It took the innocent woman a moment to figure out what he asked. How could he ask such a personal question? But of course she was full bush. She hadn't expected any man except her husband and her doctor to ever see her bottom. "Show us," was all Gary said. Susan, with dread, hooked her thumbs into the sides of her thongs and lowered them down. "I knew it, full bush," said know-it-all Mick. Susan was told to walk up and down the conference table like she was a model on a runway, and she obliged, modeling her completely naked body, complete with swaying tits and jiggling butt cheeks. Susan felt faint, and without waiting for permission, knelt on the table and began to crawl off. "Thank you, Susan, nice presentation," said Byron. He pushed his chair back from the table. "Come and sit over here." Susan stumbled over to Byron and stood in front of him naked. She leaned back and rested her bare butt on the cold table in order to keep her distance from the VP. Byron rolled his chair forward. "Put your feet up here and lean back on the table," he commanded. Susan put her feet up onto Byron's chair, on either side of him, and leaned back and rested her elbows on the table. Susan could see Byron leering as he stared between her legs at her bare pussy. She felt like she was on a visit to her OB-GYN. He leaned forward and massaged the bottoms of her thighs. "Am smooth," he moaned. He dropped his head down between Susan's thighs and burrowed his face into her pussy. "Oh," squealed the surprised Susan, as her boss's boss licked her inner thighs and crotch. His burrowed through her forest of hair until he found her slit, and he licked up and down slowly. Susan looked up to see the other four men on all sides of her, staring at her naked body, watching their boss perform oral sex on her. Susan didn't know what to do. She was afraid of Byron like everybody else was, and made no verbal objection to his unwanted sexual probing. With her naked thighs spread wide, her bare ass on the edge of the conference table, leaning back on her elbows, her tits sloped forward, her hard nipples pointing up. It was horrible having Chuck and then Gary having sex with her in private, but now Byron was having his way with her while four men she knew watched. It was the most awful moment yet, but somehow it was very erotic, seeing the men's eyes as they moved from her naked breasts to her exposed pussy. And Byron's tongue was having its effects, as it probed deeper and quicker into her. "Oh. Oh." Susan thrust her hips forward, and opened and shut her jiggling thighs around Byron's head. "Please," she thought. "Don't let anybody else walk into the room." Joe, standing to Susan's left, reached out and grabbed her left breast. His meaty hand lifted and massaged it as Susan looked down at it. Then Mick moved in from her right and gripped her right breast. Nobody in the room was going to get in Byron's way, but as long as her tits were free, they took the opportunity to feel their coworker. Of course, Susan had never had more than one man at a time, and the sensations of two hands independently squeezing her breasts and pulling on her nipples, along with the flitting tongue on her pussy, were driving her wild, and she couldn't stop her shudders and moans. Susan bit her lip and tried to quiet herself, aware that people were working outside the conference room door. But as she looked up at the four staring faces, and looked down at the two hands and the face pressing her body, she shuddered out of control. "Un-GG. M-G-G-G-G-G-H." When Byron's tongue found her swollen clit, she clamped her thighs tightly around Byron, and thrashed her hips back and forth wildly, shaking the VP's balding head with them. Susan's orgasm lasted for minutes, it seemed, and then she lied back on the wooded table with her forearm covering her eyes. She could hear the voices chuckling and commenting on her intense orgasm,
and she could feel the hands leaving her breasts and Byron's head pull away from her crotch and pull back his chair until her feet fell to the floor. It did not register that she was hearing a belt unbuckle and a zipper pulled. It was only when she felt her ankles being grabbed that she looked up. Byron was standing between her legs with his pants down and his dick out, and was lifting her legs up onto his shoulders. She gasped, opened her eyes wide, her body stiffened, and her hands grasped the edges of the table. But otherwise she didn't move or say anything as her feet were slung over the little VP's shoulders, and he thrust his bottomless torso toward her butt. Susan could feel Byron's cock slide into her well-lubricated pussy. It was not a big dick by any means, but the penetration and subsequent lubricated thrusting sent shivers into her. Byron wasted no time and slammed into her rapidly, like a small dog humping. Susan could hear his flesh slapping against her body and thighs. With her legs up in the air, Byron got good penetration into Susan despite the short length of his little unit. Susan looked around at the four other smiling faces watching her get fucked rapidly. She could see her exposed breasts jiggling up and down, in the opposite direction whichever way her body was being thrust. Almost immediately, the young wife felt herself having a mini-orgasm. She had already lost count on how many she'd involuntarily had in the past 24 hours at the hands of her business associates. Susan braced for more humping, but in a very short time, Byron shot a load of jism in her pussy, and pulled his wet dick out of her.
"All right, gentlemen, let's get back to work. Get dressed, Susan," ordered Byron.
The other men snapped to attention and began to straighten up their papers. But they kept their eyes on Susan, as she quickly rose, found her blazer, skirt, and thong. But Gary grabbed her blouse first, and refused to give it to her, stuffing it into his pants pocket, forcing Susan to throw her blazer on with nothing underneath. Once she was reasonably presentable, the conference room door was opened, and the others filed out. Susan put her shoes on, ran her fingers through her hair, and made herself as presentable as she could. She exited the conference room, and walked down the aisle. Maybe it was her imagination, but as she passed the men and women working at their desks, she got the feeling that they knew exactly what she had done with the men in the conference room. Chapter 5. Getting felt all over. For the rest of the afternoon, Susan sat at her desk, trying to avoid any other human contact, but not able to concentrate at all on her work. About an hour after the conference ended, she heard someone approaching her from behind.
"Susan, I liked your presentation very much."
It was Emil, the Arabic man who had watched her stripping and getting laid on the conference table. Emil put his hand on her shoulder.
"Thank you,"
mumbled Susan, not looking up. Anyone else within earshot may have thought he was sincere, but Susan knew that the presentation Emil was talking about had nothing to do with business. When Emil didn't leave, Susan looked up to see what he wanted. She could see his eyes peering down at her. She realized that with no bra or blouse on that he could see right inside her blazer at her right breast. Emil calmly reached down and stuck his hand inside the married woman's suit and placed his left hand on her right breast as he stood behind her. Susan stiffened as she got felt up in her cubicle, but sat speechless with her mouth open. Emil calmly smiled as he rapidly squeezed and jiggled her tit, pulling on her stiff nipple. Susan simply sat silently and endured the fondling, until Emil heard footsteps coming down the hall, calmly removed his hand from her blazer, and walked away silently. This wasn't the last man to see her exposed breast on this day. That pleasure fell to John and Walter, two young college interns that were setting up a new marketing display in the front reception area. Gary called Susan and asked her to assist the two 21-year-olds. Under normal circumstances, Susan would have been happy to assist. But as she began helping the younger men with their assembly, she spent more time trying to hold her blazer together to keep from exposing her breasts to them. It was in vain, for she caught the boys staring down at her exposed breasts constantly, as she had to lean over and hold one part, while they assembled others. Despite everything that had happened in the past 24 hours, she still felt her face get flushed. And it didn't help when the UPS man delivered a package, and stopped to stare down her top too. At the end of the day, she worked up the courage to walk into Gary's office and politely ask him for her clothes back.
"Oh, sure,"
he replied loudly. He opened his bottom desk drawer.
"Let's see. Your blouse."
He tossed the bundled garment on his desk.
"Pantyhose. Boring white bra size 34B. Is that it?
Panties?" Susan mumbled.
"Oh yes, here they are. Boring white cotton panties. But you're gonna have to do better than that. You need to quit dressing so frumpy and spice things up more. Here, start with these."
Gary reached into his drawer once more and came up with a tiny red garment. They were silky thongs, not dissimilar to the ones that she was currently wearing. They looked like a child's.
"They were Marsha's too. Wear them tomorrow. Hey, I know, wear them with your white skirt, you know the one I mean. They cling to your ass real nicely, and show off every jiggle. All the guys love them. And your ass wiggles nicely when you walk. In case you didn't know."
Susan didn't know. She blushed again, thinking of men ogling her derriere as she walked the halls.
"But those big panties got to go. Boring. Wear these panties, and you'll have real sexy thong lines to show off your nice ass. See you tomorrow, Susan. Oh, let me have a quick feel before you go."
Gary stood up and reached into her blazer and gave her tits a jiggle.
"I've been ogled and groped all afternoon in this outfit,"
Susan complained, while her boss felt her up.
"Let them ogle and grope. They're just showing their admiration. You're gonna dress sexier from now on. I'll buy you a few things to wear. And soon enough you'll learn what I like, and I'll give you some gift cards so you can shop for yourself."
With that, Gary pulled his hand out
and Susan was dismissed. She grabbed up her extra garments and stuck them into her purse and put them back on in the bathroom before returning home to her husband. The next morning, as she walked down the hall, she heard footsteps behind her.
Damn, is that a nice ass, or what?
Susan glanced back to see Mick, who was at the prior day's meeting, along with Randy, another 40-ish man, from Texas, walking behind her. She didn't acknowledge them or Mick's comment, but she knew they were looking at her tight white skirt. Susan had checked herself out in a mirror earlier, and knew that her red thongs were clearly visible through the tight translucent skirt.
Boom, 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 boom.
Mick was making sound effects to the rhythm of Susan's movements. Randy just snickered.
Makes you want to reach out and give them a squeeze.
I think I will. Despite the verbal warning, Susan was still surprised when Mick's big hand grabbed her ass check over her skirt and gave it a good squeeze. She gasped, but didn't verbally react. She turned with a wide-eyed dirty look, just as Randy grabbed her other cheek. Susan gasped again, which made both men laugh out loud. Susan simply scooted away in a semi-trot, hearing the laughing men behind her. Thinking about the gropes later, Susan wasn't all that surprised that Mick would treat her like a bimbo, since he watched her get fucked in the conference room. But Randy wasn't there. Did Mick or someone else tell Randy what happened? Who else knew that she would endure any sort of sexual harassment? She learned soon enough. As she washed her coffee cup in the sink of the lunchroom, she felt a body behind hers. She looked back to see Darnell, one of the few black men that worked in the office. He said,
"Good morning. You look real nice today."
"Thank you," Susan replied.
"Mmm,"
was the next sound out of Darnell's mouth, as he pressed his body into Susan's from behind. He put his big hands on Susan's waist over her blouse and ran them up her chest. He cupped both of her tits through her blouse and bra. At the same time, Susan felt Darnell's hard dick goosing her through his slacks and her skirt. Susan inhaled deeply, thrusting her chest out involuntarily. Darnell took a moment to knead her tits and goose her good, and then simply poured himself a cup of coffee and exited. Later in the morning, Susan was in Craig's office, reviewing a proposal. While Craig sat in his chair, trying to look down Susan's blouse, Susan stood to his right, leaning over and reading the proposal. She felt a hand on the back of her left knee. When she offered no objection, the hand slid up the back of her thigh. Soon it was under her skirt, climbing towards her ass. Susan tried to keep talking, but she stammered and lost her focus. Craig's hand slid over her bare left ass cheek, and gave it a little squeeze before massaging it. Susan simply stood up and let Craig feel both of her ass cheeks. When he was done, she composed herself enough to understand the proposal, and left. Chapter 6. Sucking up to the boss. After lunch, Susan was summoned into Gary's office. Gary, sitting at his desk, motioned for her to close the door.
"Come over here," he said, motioning for her to walk around the desk. "It's time for a little quiz."
Susan had had a sinking feeling about the situation. She sunk more when Gary began to unzip his pants.
"Kneel down here. Let's see what you can do with this."
Thought Susan. "He wants me to perform oral sex on him." Susan sank to her knees between Gary's legs. She stared at the sizable cock that had invaded her pussy the previous day. Resigned to the chore, she wrapped her lips around the head. It was bigger than her husband's cock, the only other cock she had ever sucked. Her husband had never really complained about her oral sex technique, but it was not something she really enjoyed doing, and only performed on him sporadically. Susan wrapped her lips wide around Gary's unit, and sank down on the shaft. She slurped on the top third of Gary's cock slowly. Within a few seconds, her boss started to criticize her technique.
"Go down further. As deep as you can. Wrap your lips tighter, but watch your teeth."
Susan obeyed each command. At this point she just wanted to get the chore over with, but it seemed that Gary was going to keep her there until she did it to his satisfaction. The phone rang.
"Shit,"
Gary muttered but hit the hands-free button. Susan recognized the voice as Tom, one of the corporate attorneys.
"Gary," said Tom. "I'm here with Miles, and we have to get the wording correct on our deposition this afternoon. Can we have a moment of your time?"
"Yeah, if you can come down here. I'm not in a position to leave my office right now."
"Okay, we'll be right down," said Tom.
Susan presumed that she would be dismissed from her current sex chore. But when she lifted her head, Gary said,
"Keep going."
Susan was still slurping on Gary's cock when Tom and Miles entered the office. She couldn't look up at the two men in their gray suits, so she could only imagine the look on their faces when they saw her performing a sex act on her boss.
"Okay," said Gary to the men. "What do you need from me?"
The two legal eagles read a statement, and then bantered with Gary on the correct wording. Susan took the occasional quick glance out of the corner of her eye at the two pinstripe men. Their attitude seemed to be of mild discomfort and surprise, but they didn't seem incredulous or completely shocked to see her sucking on Gary's cock. Did they think that this was normal behavior for her? Susan tried to remember all of Gary's earlier cock-sucking instructions. She sucked with vigor, causing loud slurp, slurp, slurp sounds that the other men could probably hear. She tried to take his cock as deep into the back of her throat as she could. Once she gagged on it, emitting a
guguk
sound, she was embarrassed. Subconsciously, she didn't want the other two men to think she gave lousy blowjobs. Gary stayed hard in Susan's mouth, but she feared he would never finish this way. Her jaw was getting tired. Finally, Gary told her to stop.
"We'll get back to that later."
Susan stood up and wiped off her mouth, expecting to leave the room. But instead, Gary grabbed her wrist and said,
Here, straddle me.
He maneuvered Susan until she was standing in front of him, with her legs spread on either side of his knees. His hairy cock was still sticking up, with his pants down to his ankles.
Okay, Susan, lower yourself down.
Susan couldn't believe that Gary wanted her on his lap in front of the legal department. But he pulled her down by her hips, and as her legs spread and she squatted on her boss, her skirt hiked up to her crotch. Gary helped the garment along by grabbing her hemline and pushing the whole skirt up past her crotch, exposing her red thong-clad crotch. Gary easily pulled aside the thong, exposing Susan's pubic hair to the two men. He aimed his hard-on at it, and as Susan lowered her body, Gary's cock slid inside her pussy. Susan felt a little weak again, as she sat on Gary's lap and tried to get comfortable. Her skirt was bunched up at her waist, and her legs were spread wide. She looked at the two other men, sitting across from her. They were staring at her pussy, watching Gary's dick disappearing inside of it. Gary got into a thrusting rhythm, and Susan bounced up and down on him. Gary then continued talking to the two men. But soon he got sidetracked back to Susan again. He reached around her chest, and unbuttoned the buttons of her blouse, down to her waist, leaving it tucked inside of her skirt. He massaged her breasts over her bra for a moment, and then pulled the two cups down, forcing Susan's two tits to fall out.
Don't you just love these perky boobs?
Gary asked the other two men.
Oh yeah.
They both agreed, staring at Susan's exposed white breasts hanging over her cups, as Gary jiggled them. Despite the anger and humiliation and low self-esteem Susan was feeling, the big dick being thrust up into her, in a sex position she'd never tried before, in front of two men she knew, was getting her physically aroused, and she couldn't turn off the arousal. It was only then that Susan realized how wet she had been when Gary had entered her love canal. The sliding cock was big and well lubricated, and Gary's hands tugging on her nipples made her arch her chest out to meet them.
Phew!
She sighed involuntarily, to her embarrassment. Gary continued to talk to the other two men, but there was more dead air between sentences, as all three men seemed to be enjoying seeing Susan get fucked.
Who?
She cooed. She panted loudly, as she forgot about where she was, and couldn't keep her mind off the thick cock in her.
Ugh!
She grunted. Gary pumped up into her faster. The sound of his crotch slapping against her bare ass echoed off the walls. Her tits jiggled up and down on their own as Gary squeezed her spread out upper thighs.
Berg!
She grunted. She tried to be quiet, to be ladylike, but she couldn't help herself and growled like a tigress. Her eyes began to roll up into her eyelids. Gary moved his right hand up to her crotch and rubbed her clit above his cock. That's when Susan exploded with high-pitched squeals, practically jumping off of Gary's lap. Her thighs opened and closed, her torso gyrated, and her face contorted.
O-W-W-W-E-O-I!
Susan fell back onto Gary, panting heavily, her eyes closed, as her orgasm subsided. Gary and Tom and Miles continued their conversation. When they were concluded, Tom and Miles stood and exited the office, closing the door behind them. Susan slowly and wobbly stood up.
Okay, said Gary. Back to your sucking lesson.
Susan realized that Gary hadn't come yet. He wanted her to return to his blowjob. Susan returned to her knees on the carpet, and sucked on Gary's cock again. The salty taste and pungent odor of her own juices were both gross and somehow erotic. Susan sucked fast, firmly, and deeply, as Gary continued giving her tips.
Lick the shaft a little. Take my balls in your mouth.
Susan did as she was told, gently sucking her boss's hairy balls into her mouth, something she had never done before. She licked his shaft as instructed, and licked the head rapidly. Then she went back to deep sucking.
When I come, swallow every drop. Try not to let any spill and make a mess.
Susan was disgusted by this idea. She had never swallowed her husband's cum. The few times she even let him come in her mouth, she spit it out.
Here it comes, be ready.
Even with the warning, she still wasn't ready when the warm thick liquid spurted down her throat. She gagged, but did as she was told, trying to swallow it as fast as he shot it. She coughed a little, and some of the jism dribbled out her lips and down her chin, but she kept the liquid from falling on the carpet.
Okay, that was pretty good. You'll be an expert in no time.
Susan felt her heart sink again as she realized that Gary had intentions of this being a regular thing. Gary was nice enough to hand her a Kleenex from his desk drawer so she could wipe her mouth off, and a second one to wipe her pussy with. He watched her in silence as she stuffed her tits back into her bra cups, buttoned her blouse, straightened out her thong, and smoothed down her skirt. Chapter 7. Sliding down the corporate pole. Susan had just returned from a lunch with another client, who managed to finger fuck her under the booth, the bastard. Since Gary had earlier made her go pantyless in a short skirt, while she and Gary had sat in the client's office across from his desk, and give him a good wide open view, he was visibly aware of her lack of undergarment. Plus, she was pretty sure that she accidentally flashed the quartet of young men at the opposite table in the restaurant when she climbed out of her booth and spread her legs. But that wasn't as bad as the week before, when Gary made her give a lecture to the sales reps on the new expense account form. Gary was out of the office that day, but he left her orders to wear the shortest little dress with no panties. She cheated and wore pantyhose, but per her boss's orders she sat on a stool at the front of the training room as she forwarded the PowerPoint slides. She was glad for the pantyhose, but without panties she still felt bottomless. And with the little dress riding up and pulled tight, despite her constant attempts to pull it down, she knew that some of the men in front of her could probably see her pubic hair under her hose, especially since she had to keep getting off and on the stool to point out something on the screen. The man in the first row center was Phil.
Phil had been her first boss when she started working for this company, in the accounting area. Phil never would do the things that the others were doing to her, she thought. He was a fifeyish man, very slender, completely bald, and bespectacled. He was married, but he was so reserved and quiet that she never thought of him in a sexual way at all. Susan was seriously considering approaching Phil about her blackmail problem, since there was nobody else she could talk about it with. After the presentation was over, the rest of the group exited as Susan turned off the computer equipment. Phil hung back until everybody else was gone. He approached Susan at the front of the room in his casual manner.
You know, Susan, if I'd known you wanted to use sex to get ahead in the company, you could have moved up in the finance department.
Susan knew he'd been staring at her pussy, knew what he was talking about, and was pretty sure he'd heard stories about her. She wanted to confide in him, to tell him her story. But before she could open her mouth, Phil pressed her up against the front wall, holding her hips in place.
If I'd known it was that easy, I would have just done this when you worked for me.
He ran his right hand up her thin, tight, clinging top, cupped left tit, and squeezed it over her flimsy bra.
Oh, Phil.
Susan whimpered. But with no physical resistance, he placed his left hand on her right tit, bending both of his wrists back and curling his fingers over her twin cones. Her nipples had been sticking out of her dress for most of the lecture, and they stayed hard as Susan's former boss felt her up. Susan just whimpered and endured the gropes, looking up at the skinny accountant. Phil slid his left hand down her side, and down her hip. He slid it up under her skirt and back, and Susan felt it squeeze her right butt cheek over her pantyhose. Then Phil's right hand slid down her front under her skirt, and cupped her crotch over her hose. Standing to Susan's right side, Phil pulled her tight skirt up to her waist. He found the waistband of her pantyhose and back, and slid his hand inside, feeling her bare ass. Then he did the same in front, sliding his hand down inside the hose, and rubbed her pubic mound over her fur. With his left middle finger sliding gently up and down her ass crack, and his right middle finger sliding up and down her pussy slit, his fingers actually touched each other under her crotch. Susan clenched her butt cheeks, but both the light touching of her ass crack and pussy crack sent shivers through her. Phil pulled her pantyhose down her legs, and Susan stepped out of her shoes and then the hose. The middle-aged accountant unbuckled and unzipped his fly, and whipped out a hard cock. He crouched a little, lifted Susan's left knee up, and slipped his cock into Susan's wet pussy. Her former boss humped her against the wall. Phil felt her thighs and ass, and made out with his former employee.
"Do you have any idea how many times I sat in my office and imagined doing this to you?"
he asked rhetorically. In no time, he shot his cum up into Susan's pussy, while she gyrated through her own orgasm. And a few days before that episode, Gary made her wear an outfit that he bought, which featured a short shirt that revealed her midriff, coupled with a pair of low-hung beige slacks, where the waistband was several inches below her hips. Susan knew that some of the teenagers wore these types of outfits, but her tummy wasn't perfect, and if someone looked real close they could see just a bit of short blonde peach fuzz on both her front just above her pubic mound, and some in back leading into her asshole. And when Gary made her reorganize the file on the lower shelf, squatting down in the aisle, she knew that quite a bit of her ass crack was visible to any person walking along the aisle. She knew this because Tom and Craig and two other men made crude jokes about it when they went by. And Byron, Mick, Emil, Joe, and numerous other men took their liberties with Susan whenever they felt like it, squeezing her boobs in the cafeteria, rubbing her ass in the halls, lifting her skirt in their offices. But this afternoon, she was hoping to just hide at her desk all afternoon and avoid the leering and comments and gropes that seemed to be around every corner for the past several weeks. She felt someone's presence behind her. She turned to see Lewis, the maintenance man, smiling down at her. Lewis was probably in his 40s, but he'd never been married, wasn't particularly attractive, and wasn't particularly bright. He was a little less than average height, had a slightly receding hairline, and had a bad haircut. Lewis shuffled his feet, smiling broadly, and cleared his throat.
Gary said that you could help me in the back.
In back?
With what?
There was a large storage area, loading dock, and maintenance area in back, which Lewis was in charge of. Susan had only looked in the door at it once. Lewis continued with his slack-jawed grin and said,
"Come on, I'll show you. Gary said you'd do it."
Susan slowly rose, and followed Lewis down the hall to the maintenance area. He closed the door behind her. The area, including the loading dock, was about the size of an average schoolroom. It was dusty and cluttered with boxes and supplies. Susan, wearing her short skirt, new white see-through blouse and white lacy see-through bra, stood in a narrow aisle surrounded by boxes.
"What do you need help with, Lewis?"
Lewis stood in front of her with his shitty grin.
I helped Gary fix his car, and he said that if I did, that you'd let me feel your boobs.
Susan's heart sank once again, but she didn't doubt the story. Only Gary would use her as payment to save money on some car work. She felt her face get flush. She was alone in the warehouse with Lewis. Lewis wasn't a completely hideous individual, but he wasn't someone that Susan would ever have considered dating. At least Lewis asked. Everybody else was just grabbing them. Susan wanted to get this over with, and go hide at her desk again. She emitted a deep sigh.
"Oh, okay."
Lewis stepped forward and put his right hand on Susan's right tit, over her blouse. He rapidly groped and squeezed it, still grinning at her. Susan's blouse was buttoned low enough that Lewis easily reached in, and felt her over her bra. The maintenance man awkwardly reached inside of her bra cup, worked his rough, callous fingers inside, and felt her bare tit. Susan felt awkward and embarrassed,
just standing there as the lowest full-time employee in the corporate food chain groped her breast. Louis was breathing heavy, even wheezing a little. He put his left arm around Susan, leaned forward, and kissed her, too hard and too aggressively. Susan gingerly put her arms around Louis's work shirt and kissed back. With his right hand in Susan's bra, his left hand slid down over her ass and squeezed it over her skirt. The skirt was so short that it was easy for him to slide the hand under the hem and grope her bare pantyless ass. He pressed his torso into Susan, and she could feel his erection pressing into her stomach. Louis's left hand moved to her front, still under her skirt, and rubbed her pussy. A callous digit worked its way into her wet pussy slit. Susan spread her feet apart and bent her knees a little to allow his penetration. Louis was a sloppy kisser, and when he forced his tongue into her mouth, drool ran down Susan's chin. She was being jostled around, having an awkward time standing.
"Let's lay down on these boxes and fuck," Louis said.
"Gary said you would." Susan looked over at the stack of cardboard boxes sitting on a pallet that Louis wanted her to lay on. It was quite dusty. She didn't want to spend the rest of the afternoon with dirt all over her backside. She already noticed that Louis's dirty hand had left a handprint on her white blouse right over her right breast.
"Okay, but it's too dirty. Let me take off my clothes."
Louis had no problem with that at all, and gleefully ogled Susan as she stepped out of her shoes, unbuttoned her blouse and gingerly found a clean spot to lay it, pulled off her bra and let her tits jiggle freely, and squirmed out of her skirt to reveal her light brown pubic hair. She climbed up onto the boxes. Louis quickly stripped out of his work shirt, jingling belt and keychain, dropped his dirty loose jeans and ripped briefs to his ankles, to reveal a short but thick hard-on. Susan lied on her back on the boxes, spread her legs wide, and waited for Louis to climb on her. Louis quickly climbed on the boxes, and lay down on top of her. Susan reached underneath her and helped guide Louis's dick head into her slippery pussy. Susan wondered if he'd ever had sex before. When he finally got into a decent position, he fell on top of her and humped her rapidly. Susan looked at her surroundings, naked in a dirty stale warehouse, lying under the maintenance man. It was dirty. It was so beneath her. It was so bad. It was so bringing her to an orgasm. She grunted, wrapping her naked thighs around Louis, thrusting up to meet him the best she could. Louis just wheezed and grunted. He got up on his elbows once, looking down at her jiggling tits. He had this. "A real woman is actually letting me fuck her." Grin on his face. He fell down on her, and Susan dug her fingernails into his back. She felt Louis come quickly, and began to rapidly decelerate his pumping.
"Oh, Louis! Louis! Don't stop, Louis!"
Susan begged. She was so close. She kept thrusting up into him, and wiggling her pelvis sideways, to get the last feels of his softening cock.
"Berg!"
Soon she had a mild, not completely satisfying orgasm. She lay under Louis, panting as Louis grinned down at her. Chapter 8. Susan's lady client. Susan and Gary were spending the afternoon with another client. But after playing the company's high-priced hooker numerous times, Susan was relieved to hear that the client was a woman. Lana was a fairly attractive woman in her mid-40s, Susan guessed, with short, dark brown hair. She was tall, a good 5 feet 10 inches, and looked taller in high heels. Her navy pinstripe business suit at first looked conservative, but on closer inspection Susan noted that the blazer was tapered quite narrow at the waist, accentuating Lana's large breasts, and the skirt was both tight and fairly short, hemmed slightly above mid-thigh. A little sexy but businesslike, unlike Susan, whom was wearing a sleeveless sweater with no bra, and a short flared skirt with white garters and white silk bikini panties. At lunch, Susan sat across from Lana. The chain-smoking Lana leaned forward as she chatted with Susan and Gary, batting her heavily made-up eyes at them both. Lana's chest pressed into her arms resting on the table, and her low-cut blazer revealed the top of her shiny black brassiere, with no other slip or camisole under the coat. Susan found herself staring down at Lana's cleavage spilling out over the top of her bra. She just presumed that Gary was noticing the same thing. Susan wondered if Gary had ever had sex with this client. Back at the office, Susan joined Lana and Gary in the conference room. After a high-level chat between Lana and Gary, Gary dismissed himself, leaving Lana and Susan to work out shipment details. Lana sat to the right of Susan at the conference table, pulling her chair close to the younger woman. Lana's butt was up at the edge of her chair, and her face was right up next to Susan's, with her left arm resting on Susan's chair behind her. Susan could smell Lana's heavy perfume mixed in with her cigarette smell. Susan listened closely as Lana explained the shipping schedule. But when Lana's left knee pressed up against Susan's right knee, she became acutely aware of Lana's closeness. Lana's drooping eyelids over her brown eyes, half-smile, and lower-pitched husky voice reminded Susan of all of the recent times that men had hit on her.
"Is this making sense to you, honey?"
Lana asked. Susan repeated Lana's instructions, and assured the older woman that the company would meet the schedule.
Very good. Gary told me I'd like you," said Lana.
Lana pressed her leg firmer into Susan's. Susan caught herself looking down into Lana's blazer again, seeing the swelling cleavage and black bra. Lana's tight skirt had risen up quite high, and Susan could see the tops of her stockings and black garter belt. When Lana placed her right hand onto Susan's right thigh, Susan instinctively tried to roll her chair away from Lana. But Lana's left arm wrapped around Susan's shoulders, and Susan felt trapped.
"Susan, you're very attractive. Gary said you'd satisfy me. Work with me,
and I can bring a load of business your way.
Lana's left hand gently but firmly grabbed the back of Susan's head. Lana leaned forward and planted her lips onto Susan's. Susan had that deer in the headlights feeling again and sat motionless, feeling helpless. Susan knew she wasn't a lesbian, never even considered herself bi, but over the years she'd had a few curious moments when she wondered what it would be like to kiss another woman, and had too many subconscious moments when she stared too long at another woman's body. She would never do this of her own consent, but now that she was being forced to, she accepted her fate, opened her mouth, and she kissed Lana back, tasting another woman's lips for the first time in her life, still scared, still hesitant, but submissive. In fact, she had to admit, this wasn't quite as revolting as the time that she was forced to make out with the maintenance man. Lana reached up with her right hand, and unbuttoned her own blazer. She took hold of Susan's left hand, and placed it inside her open jacket onto her large black bra. It was a push-up bra, and Susan felt herself aroused looking at the large acreage of bare cleavage spilling out of and over the bra. Susan tentatively began to caress the silky bra cup, moving her hand in larger and larger circles. She found herself instinctively placing her hand on the bare cleavage, feeling the warm flesh. Lana quickly reached up and caressed Susan's braless breasts over her thin sweater. Then she grabbed the sides of the garment, and quickly pulled it up over Susan's head, and dropped it on the table. Susan felt suddenly vulnerable and embarrassed, being topless at work, and with another woman. She watched as Lana slid her own blazer off of her shoulders. Then she dropped her black bra straps. Lana smiled as she let the top half of her bra cups fall, exposing her large dark areolas to Susan, leaving the big lobes to rest on the cup's shelf. Lana grabbed her own left breast, arched her back, and pressed her nipple against Susan's right nipple. Susan gasped at the strange move, but instinctively arched her back and pressed her chest forward. Waves of ticklish eroticism shot through her breast, as if her nipple was now plugged into Lana's, drawing sexual pleasure from her body, as their nipples jousted and their tit flesh pressed together. Lana leaned forward and slid her tongue into Susan's mouth, as the two women caressed each other's bare breasts. Lana was the dominant one, Susan still the hesitant one, but she was reluctantly taking pleasure from the older woman. Susan's high whimpers differed in sound noticeably from Lana's low, husky moans. The experience of fondling another woman's bare breasts was strange to Susan, but she'd always wondered what a really large tit felt like. It felt good. The older woman's big jugs were softer and less firm, but they rolled nicely in Susan's hand. And the softer hand of a woman on her naked breast was an odd sensation. Lana seemed to know just how to touch Susan to make her feel good. Lana's lips left Susan's and kissed their way down her neck and chest, landing on her right breast. Susan's libido exploded again as she felt the woman suck on one nipple and caress her other one. Lana's right hand slid down her stomach to her thigh. Her hand worked its way from her stocking-covered right thigh, up past the stocking top, onto her bare upper thigh.
"Spread your legs wider, Susan," Lana instructed in her husky voice. Susan was scared, but obliged, spreading her knees far apart.
Lana's hand moved up her thighs until her fingertips found Susan's moist silky panties. They tickled the edge, teased her pussy mound, and then slid in the side over her pubic hair. Lana's long middle finger tickled Susan's outer lips, and eventually moved inside of her lubricated pussy. Lana pulled her head away from Susan's chest.
"Kiss my breasts, honey."
Susan obediently lowered her head down, until her eyes looked directly at the pale tits and large areolas. Susan kissed the tops of them, then licked her cleavage between the two. She avoided the long nipples, kissing around the wide areolas, but her curiosity got to her, and she took the right nipple into her mouth, and sucked on it hard, flitting her tongue over the hard tip.
"Have you ever been with a woman before, Susan?"
"No," she mumbled from between Lana's tits.
"You're doing fine, sweetheart. Touch my pussy the way I'm touching yours."
Susan moved her left hand down onto Lana's left thigh. Lana's skirt was already hiked up so high that Susan could see both her bare thighs beyond her stockings and black garters. Now Lana spread her thighs wide, until Susan could glimpse a shiny pair of black panties over her crotch. Susan reached between Lana's long thighs, ran her hands up her stockings and over her bare thigh flesh, and stroked her slippery but wet panty crotch. Susan continued suckling Lana's nipples as she slid her fingers into her panties. Susan felt a strip of hair, long but shaved back from the sides. Susan fingered the well-lubricated slit, emulating whatever Lana was doing to Susan's pussy. Both women were panting and moaning loudly. Lana got more aggressive, kissing Susan harder, feeling her rougher, fingering her so hard that her chair rolled on the carpet. Susan now felt like she was being manhandled by one of the aggressive men instead of a soft woman. Lana tweaked her nipples and squeezed her tits hard. The older woman grabbed a handful of Susan's hair and pressed her face hard into her chest again. Lana suddenly stood up. She hiked her skirt up to her waist, standing with her garters and black panties showing, and her big white tits hanging out of her black bra. She grabbed the sides of her own panties and wiggled them down, revealing her dark brown pubic hair. She kept her skirt bunched up at her waist, took Susan's hand, and pushed her chair away from the table. Lana laid down on the carpet, and pulled Susan down with her. Susan wasn't expecting this, lost her balance, and fell to the carpet next to Lana, on her back, half under the conference table. Lana quickly pushed Susan's skirt up to her hips, revealing her white silk panties and white garter. She grabbed the panties, and quickly yanked down. Susan was surprised and hesitant at first, then surrendered and lifted her butt off the floor so Lana could slide the panties down her legs. Lana lay on the carpet beside Susan, but with her head at the opposite end of Susan's. She spread Susan's legs wide, staring at her naked pussy.
Lana stood between Susan's legs, with Lana's and Susan's legs scissoring each other. Lana lay down and grabbed Susan's leg like pro wrestler. The older woman scooted her crotch up to Susan's. She pressed her hairy pussy firmly against Susan's hairy pussy, and rubbed them together.
Oh,
moaned the surprised Susan.
Ah,
grunted Lana in her husky voice. She rubbed her pussy against Susan's, banging it really, as Susan got into a rhythm with her. It was like they were fucking now, their crotches slapping together, rolling around on the floor, panting and grunting like wild animals, not a pair of well-dressed ladies. Susan had expected the other woman to be gentle with her, but Lana was pushing her around more roughly than most of the men had lately. Lana released her grip on Susan. She pushed Susan down flat onto her back on the carpet. Lana scooted her body down, placed her knees on either side of Susan's face, and straddled Susan. Susan looked up to see Lana's crotch directly over her face. She gasped, knowing what Lana wanted, but when Lana's hips descended, Susan took hold of her hips and burrowed her nose into Lana's pussy hair. She felt Lana's nose doing the same thing to her pussy, burrowing it until her tongue found her labia.
MMMMPHHHHH,
mumbled Susan, buried in a face full of pussy. She licked up as best she could, both grossed out by the smell and texture, and fully aroused. Susan's thighs reacted to Lana's licking, and she arched her hips and closed her thighs around Lana's face. Lana also reacted to Susan's pussy eating, closing her smooth, fleshy thighs around Susan's forehead. Lana grabbed Susan's butt cheeks under her with one hand. She spread the cheeks, until her fingers found her asshole. Lana slowly and gently worked her middle finger into the hole, causing Susan to jump.
Relax, honey,
Lana mumbled from Susan's pussy. Susan feared that the finger would hurt her, but as Lana went deeper, Susan felt a growing arousal. The combination of the tongue at her pussy and the finger in her anus was a stimulating sensation.
Do that to me, Susan,
Lana ordered. Susan reached up and felt the older woman's larger ass cheeks. She found her asshole, not far from her own nose. She found it easier to work her index finger in. Lana moaned as it slid deeper. Both women were eating and fingering and moaning and panting. Susan barely flinched when she caught sight of the webcam that was mounted up in the corner. The camera was used for webcasting conferences. It was pointing right at Susan and Lana, and its red light was flashing. Susan knew Gary wouldn't miss a chance to watch them on the web, but she wondered how many other people were also watching, or would be watching, if the event were captured on disc. But Susan was too far into her own lust to even lower her muffled moans. Both women got louder, Susan with her high-pitched squeals, and Lana with her low-pitched moans, both muffled by pussies. Lana was able to move her tongue up to Susan's clit, and Susan found Lana's clit. Each gyrated their hips, throwing the other's head back and forth, clasping their heads with their thighs.
Woo-yee-yee! U-U-M! Mum-mum! Argrg!
Susan's orgasm surged, Lana gyrated, until they both were exhausted. Susan began to sob, a combination of shame, humiliation, exhaustion, and just plain sadness that the intense orgasm was over. Lana rolled off of Susan, turned herself around, and lay next to her, hugging her and caressing her. Chapter 9. Punishment. Naturally, Susan's work suffered. Her concentration and enthusiasm waned greatly. Gary had made it clear that if Susan just up and quit, that he would make good on his blackmail threat. It just wasn't in Susan's nature to purposely do a lousy job to try to get fired, but she figured there wasn't much that the company could do to her if her work was less than stellar, so it was easy to let details slide. At a hastily called staff meeting, Byron seemed to be in a particularly nasty mood.
I was told this morning that we lost the Benson account. Our contact told me that last month we fouled up one of their orders, which caused Benson to lose one of their customers. So we're out. I want answers.
Mick? Mick cleared his throat, feeling, like everybody else in the room, that Byron was ready to explode.
Benson faxed in an order last month, and we entered the order into the system. But then they faxed in a change order, and that change didn't get executed. It wasn't until their shipment arrived that anybody realized the mistake.
Who did they send the change order to? Asked Byron.
Susan, replied Mick.
Susan was caught off guard. A wave of panic set in.
Oh no.
She does remember the change order now. It came in late one night, and after a particularly long fuck session with Gary, she had decided to enter it the next morning, and then just plain forgot. But she wasn't aware of her mistake until this moment, in front of Byron, Gary, and most of the senior sales team. Susan's face went flush as everybody in the room looked at her.
What happened, Susan?
Byron slowly asked in a barely controlled voice, his lips quivering, his eyes piercing hers from across the table.
I
stammered the unprepared sales assistant.
What happened?
Screamed Byron at the top of his lungs.
I just forgot it,
cried Susan in a quivering voice.
You just fucking forgot a fucking Benson order? Come here.
Now, he yelled, his face as red as a beet. Susan jumped up to her feet. Everybody else in the room was completely silent. Susan walked around to the other side of the conference table and stood in front of Byron.
On your knees,
he ordered. Susan immediately dropped to her knees in front of Byron's chair. Byron hurriedly, angrily, unbuckled his belt and pulled it off his pants. Susan thought for a moment that he was going to whip her with it, but he just threw it against the wall with a clang. Then he unbuttoned and unzipped his pants and yanked them down to his ankles. Byron grabbed the back of Susan's head and forced her face to his crotch. Susan fought for just a moment, and then opened her mouth, and took the semi-hard dick between her lips.
Byron simultaneously pulled her head forward and thrust his hips out. He did this rapidly time and time again. Byron fucked the young wife's face in the middle of the meeting in the conference room, quickly, forcefully, and angrily. Susan choked on the cock. It was not a long or thick cock at all, but Byron thrust it all the way in until his pubic hair hit her full lips, and the dick head at the back of her throat caused her to make noises each time he thrust.
Guck, 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 guck.
Byron did not make the young wife suck his cock long, nor did he come in her mouth. He released her head, and stopped his thrusting.
Get on the table! On the table on your knees!
The stunned assistant began to climb onto the conference table, on her knees. Her miniskirt rose up almost to her ass, and her bare knees rested on the wood table. Byron stood up, cock still hanging out, and pushed her over to the middle of the table, facing the north end of the table. Byron climbed onto the table and knelt behind her. The still angry boss yanked her miniskirt up to her waist with one motion, exposing Susan's pink thong. Byron pulled the thong aside, exposing Susan's crotch. But it wasn't her pussy he aimed his cock at, but her exposed puckered asshole. He thrust his saliva-covered cock into it.
Yee-yee-yee!
Squealed a surprised Susan.
No! Shut up, you stupid bimbo!
Ah! Byron slowly worked his thin dick into Susan's virgin asshole. Tears fell down her nose onto the conference table. Her scooping top was hanging open, exposing her braless tits to the men on the end of the table that she was facing. The other half of the men was watching her bare ass, and their boss fucking her rippling ass. The skinny little vice president crouched over her and humped her like a little dog, thrusting his crotch in and out. The little man was up on the balls of his feet, knees bent. His pelvis slapped against her jiggling ass each time he pumped her. He reached up to her right shoulder and pulled her blouse off of her shoulder, exposing her right tit. As it hung down, Byron tugged it and milked it. Susan's head hung in shame as the still red-faced boss but fucked her like a cockroach on her backside. Her hair hung down, and she cried. But soon she realized the erotic sensations that having a cock in her ass can cause. She was no longer a complete stranger to the effects of anal stimulation by another person. Byron reached between her legs and felt her pussy. His fingers found her clit, and rubbed it rapidly and roughly. Susan suddenly found herself close to an orgasm.
Oi-ch-ch-ch!
She involuntarily moaned.
Ayaha!
Susan shuddered and thrashed, raising her head up, causing her dangling tits to shake.
Uh-huh.
Susan felt Byron shoot his load of cum into her asshole. The sensation boosted her continuing orgasm. She shook her ass back at the VP.
Oh, God!
Byron withdrew his dick from Susan's asshole. He let the last couple of spurts drip down onto her ass. Then he wiped off his dick with her thong, and climbed down off the conference table, leaving his punished employee lying bare-assed on the table.
Meeting adjourned. Everybody back to work.
Chapter 10. Alone with her husband. When Susan's husband climbed into bed, she pretended to be asleep. She knew he wanted sex, and it had been a long, long time since she gave him some. But once again, she was hoping to get out of this marital chore. For the past several months, she had used all of the excuses. Headaches, tired, getting her period. Anything to keep her husband from having sex with her. The reality, she knew, was that her pussy had been getting a workout nearly every day at work. She worked very hard to get in showers after work to wash away other men's sex, to hide her dirty clothes, and to undress in the dark so he wouldn't detect any marks or bruises. But tonight, he wasn't accepting any more excuses. Reluctantly, Susan rolled over and let her husband touch her, and she half-heartedly pulled on his cock. But no matter how much effort he put into it, when he tried to stick his finger into her pussy, it was bone dry. It was hard to fake wetness. Susan lay back, wishing she could just get wet so she could get this over with. Damn, she didn't seem to have any trouble getting lubricated at work when she didn't want to be touched. She thought of the time that Phil fucked her in his office, and she was instantly wet. Gary doing her from behind over his desk. Lana licking her labia. Just after a walk down the crowded hall in a see-through top, she would go to the bathroom and find her panties soaked. Now, lying in bed with her husband, she felt herself getting wet. Not from his touches, she knew, but from the horrible recollections passing through her mind of being taken without consent. It was finally getting her aroused. Quickly, her husband jumped on her and entered her. Susan lay back in the dark, her eyes closed. In her mind, she saw Lewis the maintenance man humping her like a dog. Pretended that that scary little creep Byron was licking her clit. That Gary was fucking her in front of a group of men. All awful, humiliating thoughts.
Who?
She moaned.
Huh?
She had to bite her lip to keep from moaning Mick's name.
Ung.
She writhed and jerked her way through an orgasm. Not like most of the ones she was having at work, but at least she didn't have to fake one tonight with her husband. Susan lied back in the dark as her husband fell asleep.
Damn.
She couldn't enjoy sex with him anymore. The past few months she had experienced erotic sensations and wild orgasm like never before. And they were all happening when she felt helpless and humiliated and used. Chapter 11. The Factory. On the way home from lunch with Gary, Susan's head was in his lap, sucking on his dick as he drove. She knew it was taking a long time, and she assumed that he was driving around until he finished. But when he came in her mouth and she finished swallowing, she looked up and didn't recognize where they were.
Where are we?
We're going to swing by the plant.
I gotta meet with the operations supervisor there.
The plant was the factory where their products were made, and it was in an industrial area about 15 miles from the corporate office.
Susan had never been there before. She looked down at the outfit that Gary had personally purchased for her. The skirt was what the kids were wearing these days, short and pleated, and hung low on her hips. Her top was tight, exposed her bare midriff, and scooped down to reveal the top of her red bra. Lime green thongs, bare legs, high heels. She looked like a hooker. Not the way she wanted to meet new people. At the plant, Vern the foreman couldn't keep his eyes off of Susan. Vern and Gary took a tour of the plant. It was an ancient building, with a filthy concrete floor. The noise of stamping and grinding machines and diesel forklift trucks was deafening. And from around every corner, there were dirty men leering at Susan like they'd never seen a woman before. Taped to several of the machines were what appeared to be old photos ripped out of men's magazines of busted nude women. Linda was surprised that that sort of thing was still tolerated. When they arrived at the foreman's office in the back of the sprawling plant, Gary ordered Susan to go back to the front office and retrieve a file from his briefcase. As soon as Susan started to walk through the plant without the bosses, the whistles started. A couple of low whistles at first, but they alerted every other male in the plant to look her way. Countless loud, shrill wolf whistles cut through the din of the machines. The men left their machines to get closer to her. Susan felt like a pack of wolves were closing in on her. She walked faster down the aisle, but that only made her tits jiggle more and her nipples pop out further, and her little skirt dance more to expose her ass. There were calls and comments that for the most part Susan couldn't make out, in part because of the noise and also because they were of several different languages and dialects. She didn't even want to know what the slang meant. At the end of the plant, Susan had to climb a staircase to get to the office. Waiting below were a dozen men. As she ascended the steep metal stairs, she knew that the men could see up her skirt, and several of them confirmed it by naming the color of her thongs and complimenting her on her nice ass and nice beaver. And when Susan had retrieved the folder, she had to return to the back of the plant and go through the gauntlet once again, to louder whistles and more forward and obscene comments. Waiting at the bottom of the steps were the same dozen dirty, sweaty men. One of them took a quick, forceful grab of her ass, and Susan let out a yelp but didn't turn around. Several feet away, somebody else grabbed her butt cheek, and this time she turned around, but couldn't even tell which one did it. Somebody lifted up her skirt in the back, exposing her bare cheeks. A few ass gropes and a couple of spanks later, some older bald white guy reached around and grabbed her right tit over her top. When she finally escaped into the back office, she knew it would do no good to complain to Gary or anybody else. XXX several weeks after the plant visit, Gary called her into his office after lunch. He was looking at his computer. Gary never looks at his computer. He called her over to see what he was looking at. Of course, he took the opportunity to rub her ass while he talked. Susan was wearing a particularly elaborate ensemble that Gary had put together for her the previous night, including a blue pinstripe skirt and jacket. The skirt was the tightest thing she'd ever worn. Susan saw that he was watching a video. She recognized a Demi Moore film where she plays a stripper. She should have known that he was watching something dirty. Watch the way she moves. See how stiff she is? That's not how to dance for men. Here's how to dance for men. Gary fumbled with the mouse until another video started. Check out this rap video, he ordered. This video was just some rapper's video. Susan had seen such things on MTV while channel surfing, even though she didn't listen to rap music. She'd seen the way that some of the black girls bump and grind, spreading their legs and thrusting their pelvises. Disgusting, she thought, but didn't even admit to herself that she would stay on the channel for a minute to watch them. But she hadn't seen anything as graphic as the one that Gary was showing. There was a black woman in just a thong, with her back to the camera, sticking her big black butt out, shaking and jiggling her ass flesh. Look at her pop that booty, Gary said. Shake that junk. That's gross, Susan commented. She doesn't even have a good figure. But she was slightly disappointed when Gary clicked the video off. Okay, Susan, ready to go to the plant? Damn. Susan hated the plant. Do I have to go? Yeah. Phil's driving a bunch of us in his van. They're throwing a party for the assembly line that produced the most product last quarter. We're gonna give them their incentive prizes. Susan got stuck in the back of Phil's minivan between Joe and Mick, the two heaviest guys. Little doubt that some of her sales coworkers got a look up her tight little skirt as she climbed into the back. She could barely even sit down in the skirt, and it rose up to her crotch, affording the four men sitting in the front and middle seats a view up her skirt. Well, at least I'm wearing panties today, she thought. Everybody in here has seen my crotch before anyway, not that I ever get used to that. On the ride to the plant, Mick and Joe kept their hands on Susan's bare upper thighs above her stocking tops, but otherwise they were surprisingly well behaved. When they entered the plant, they were shown where the events were taking place, in a lunchroom off an aisle in the plant. The room was furnished with 10 old cafeteria tables and folding chairs, a couple of vending machines, some motivational posters on the walls, a couple of garbage cans, and a filthy litter tile floor. Susan spotted a keg of beer, and about a dozen of the plant employees drinking beer from plastic cups, a mixture of white, black, and Hispanic men in dirty t-shirts and jeans. Also in attendance were about 20 of the male employees from the plant office in various casual and business attire, mostly older men with gray and receding hairlines. All eyes went to Susan when she entered the room. She was certainly dressed better than anyone else, in her tight blue pinstripe suit, dark beige stockings, and black spike-heeled shoes. Gary got the room's attention. After a short condescending speech about teamwork and productivity, Gary announced, 3 months ago, when this contest was announced, I know that some of you were told that the winning line would not only get a monetary bonus, and a party, but a party with a stripper.
And when halfway through the contest it was announced that it wouldn't be just any stripper, but our own employee Susan, your line soared ahead of the other lines and won the contest. So here she is, Susan.
The crowd erupted with cheers as Susan stood dumbfounded. Did she hear him right? She was brought there to be a stripper.
No.
But when Joe and Mick grabbed her arms and led her to a table and pulled out a chair, Susan stepped up on the chair. From there she was practically pushed up onto the table. It was a good thing that she had a lot of practice wearing spiked heels these past several months, or she would have fallen. She stood in a daze, looking down at the dirty laborers who were now sitting in chairs around her, and the rest of the male audience standing behind them. She was growing a little dizzy. But when some CD player started playing a rap song, she started moving her shoulders back and forth. As the men below her started calling her name, she recognized the song as the one in the rap video that Gary had played earlier. She then figured out that she was supposed to dance like the women in those types of videos. Susan was at the height of self-consciousness, and moved stiffly. Her skirt was so short that she knew that the men sitting below her could see right up it. She self-consciously tried to pull her skirt hem down on both sides. But as the black men in the crowd yelled, "Shake that tang! Shake your butt!" the suburban wife raised her arms up into the air and thrust her hips in and out. The immediate result was that her skirt rose 6 inches, exposing red garters holding up her stockings. Susan was experiencing the now familiar feelings of humiliation. Yet it seemed to her that she was having an out-of-body experience, as her body took control to dance and shake erotically for her all-male audience. Her feet were spread wide and her knees were bent, causing her skirt to hike up higher. She thrust her hips in and out rapidly, running her fingers through her long brown hair. With shouts of, "Take it off!" from two balding old white men seated below her, Susan knew that that's exactly what Gary expected her to do. And as much as she dreaded it, she unbuttoned her blazer. Her crowd reacted loudly as they glimpsed her red brassiere, and cheered as she slowly let the jacket drop off her shoulders. Her lacy red push-up bra was pressing her tits up and out of her cups, and they danced and jiggled independently from the rest of her torso. Susan turned her back to the crowd and shook her ass at them like the black girls on MTV, or at least as close as she could approximate them. The tight navy pinstripe skirt hiked most of the way up her butt. The crowd howled at Susan's red booty pants. Her square-cut lacy panties that let the bottom third of her ass cheeks hang out the bottoms. Her ass flesh jiggled in the men's faces. Susan reached behind her and unhooked the clasp on her skirt. She slowly pulled the zipper down, exposing more of the red booty pants. Even unzipped, the garment was super tight, and she had a time of it yanking down the skirt from side to side, until it slid down her legs, and she kicked it off. Dancing in little red push-up bra, red booty pants, red garters and beige hose, and high heels, Susan faced the crowd again. She was not a model with a perfect body, she was just an average-looking wife. Her tummy was a tad rounded. Her thighs had just a little too much meat on them, causing them to jiggle. Her ass was not perfect, although Susan thought it was better than some of those big butt girls in the rap videos. But the crowd seemed more than pleased at what they were seeing, voicing their approval. As much as she was repulsed by the drooling men, Susan felt physical arousal by their positive response to her body. She grabbed the waistband of her booty pants and slid them down. Beneath them, she was wearing a pair of skinny red silk thongs. She dropped the booty pants and thrust her hips out with her legs spread wide. Her little thong was just a narrow band of red silk, dipping lower at the center, pulled tight over her protruding pussy mound. They were soaking wet, sticking to her skin and being pulled into her pussy slit. At both the top and on the sides, a couple of stray light brown pubic hairs were visible. Susan turned around and showed the men her bare butt cheeks. She shook her cheeks like the black chicks, and managed to ripple the flesh pretty well for a white chick. A stocky Hispanic man stood up and held out a dollar bill. She didn't understand him at first as he was speaking loudly in Spanish. Susan danced to the edge of her table, and the man slid the dollar into the waistband of her thong. She shivered as she felt the man's flesh touch her bare hip. A couple of other plant workers approached with bills, followed by the managers. They got stuffed into her garter belt, stocking tops, cleavage, the rear of her thongs, and the front of her thongs. Hands were jostling her, and getting in some feels. The top of her left nipple was exposed when a bill got stuffed in her cup, and more pubic hair was getting exposed. Somebody tried to slip a bill in her ass crack. Susan saw Gary use his cell phone to take a photo of her with money sticking to her. After more calls for her to take it off, Susan dropped her right bra strap, then her left. She put her hands over her bra cups, pushing up her cleavage more. Her fingers tickled the front clasp. She unhooked it. Slowly, she opened the front hook bra. Finally, she threw her chest out and let the bra fall behind her. Her white cone-shaped breasts stuck out and freely shook and jiggled. Susan was as mortified as she'd ever been standing up with her chest out shaking her tits for all of these men. But she'd never received such an outpouring ovation for anything she'd done in her life. She hated it, but she couldn't have been stopped now if someone tried to make her stop. She threw her arms up in the air and thrust her tits out. Then she shook her shoulders back and forth, feeling her titties shake side to side. More and more faces were plastered against the cafeteria windows watching her. Susan stood at the very edge of the table and slowly lowered her thongs. Her trim pubic hair became completely exposed. Susan now stood naked except for her red garters, hose, shoes, and jewelry. As she danced virtually naked, she could see several men making gestures like they were beating off. Then she looked down to see that one of the Hispanic men actually had his cock out of his pants and was beating off. As Susan rhythmically thrust her hips forward in his direction,
he thrust his cock in her direction. It was like a simulated fuck with 3 feet of space between them. It seemed to make Susan both more embarrassed and aroused. Then she saw a second man playing with his hard cock. One of the white men with an accent reached out and grabbed her ass. Then a Hispanic man cupped her pussy and rubbed it rapidly. Hands were reaching in from all over. A large black hand covered her right tit and squeezed it. Soon a dozen or more hands were groping her naked body all over. The hands were lifting Susan's body off of her feet. She was passed hand to hand over the crowd. Hands were reaching up and groping her, as she was forcibly crowd-surfed through the small room. She ended up being dropped feet first in the middle of the room. She could no longer see the people at the windows, and very few of the managers. She felt alone, surrounded by the smelly, perspiring, intoxicated factory roughnecks. A hand found her pussy, and a finger was inserted deeply into her wet slit. Another hand spread her ass cheeks, and a digit was roughly forced deep into her asshole. As the other hands groped her tits and the rest of her torso, Susan stood with her legs spread, having fingers simultaneously wriggling in her pussy and asshole, almost seeming to touch each other inside. She squealed, begged them to stop, but nobody could hear her with all of the noise. Somehow she ended up being pulled by her hair by a large black man. He sat on the edge of a table, and forced her down to her knees in front of him. He held her by her hair as he pulled a massive dark cock out of his pants and boxers. Then he held the back of her head with 2 hands, forcing her mouth down onto the thick, massive ebony cock. Susan opened her mouth to receive it. She had to stretch her mouth wide to get it over the purple head, and took several inches into her mouth. But the muscular black man wasn't satisfied. He stood up, held the back of her head with both hands, and thrust his hips rapidly in and out, pulling her head into it each time, effectively fucking her mouth. Susan gagged on the giant cock each time it poked the back of her throat. Guck, 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 were the sounds coming out of her mouth, loud enough to be heard by the nearest men. Her tits were being pawed and grabbed, as well as her ass and pussy as she kneeled before the black man, but it was the giant wad of cock in her mouth that she tried to deal with. Without warning in all of the chaos, the cock erupted, shooting hot jism down into her throat. The white young wife swallowed some, choked on even more, some spit out her nose, and some dribbled out her mouth. Finally the big hands released her head, and the slippery big cock popped out of her mouth. It was only then that she saw that 3 men of various colors were jerking their cocks off near her face. She felt a squirt of jism hit the left side of her face by a coming cock. Moments later cum sprayed her right side, hitting her in the eye. Then another one from the front sprayed her nose. She was now covered with cum all over her face. Susan was lifted up and laid on the edge of a table. A Hispanic cock was stuffed into her pussy, and her feet were being hoisted up onto the man's shoulders. Her head was turned to her left, and an old white man's cock was forced into her lips. Susan sucked cock as she was being fucked, and had several hands pawing her young sensitive tits. MMMPPHHHHHHH. MMMBBLLLMMMMPH. Susan moaned through the cock in her mouth. The incredibly rough play from these sweaty men was bringing her waves of multiple orgasms. Mum-mum-mum-mum. Somehow the cocks exited her holes. Other men flipped her over. She was laid out on her stomach over the table, with her ass hanging off of one end and her head hanging on the other. She felt a cock sliding into her pussy from behind, as another cock was being shoved into her face. Even with all of the noise, she could hear the slapping sound of some unknown man's hips slapping against her ass. She eventually got into a rhythm between the cock in her mouth, and the cock in her slippery pussy. She was emitting muffled grunts with each thrust into her pussy. Aoyawumfumf. She was nearly passed out from her orgasms when she felt herself being lifted off the table. She felt and saw herself being carried out of the cafeteria, out into the factory. Besides the hands that were holding up and groping her naked body, a number of men were following behind, like a mini parade. She was carried somewhere into the bowels of the factory, weaving and winding down narrow aisles, past numerous noisy machines, so noisy that she couldn't hear her own screams when the men groped her hard. At each machine, she would see more workers, who put down their gloves and tools and followed the crowd. Susan was thrown down on her back, onto the end of a 2-foot-wide conveyor, onto the belt, which covered steel rollers. The conveyor was not moving, but her body rolled up and down as the men positioned her. She looked up to see the largest of the men that had been carrying her, standing at the end of the conveyor, between her legs. The crew cut man, wearing a tight, dirty t-shirt, dropped his pants, pulled out a very large uncircumcised cock, and aimed it at Susan's pussy. Susan struggled, but found her arms and legs held down by the men who were standing on each side of her. The others cheered as the big crew cut brute thrust his cock deep into Susan's fuck tunnel. He threw her feet above his shoulders like she was a doll, and rammed her hard, again and again. Susan looked around her. Past the numerous old factory workers and their dirty clothes, greasy hair and bad teeth, were all sorts of large, noisy machines. These machines spat fire and smoke out into the factory, and shouted out various rhythmic banging. The banging seemed to set up the rhythm for the man who fucked her. The combination of bad fluorescent ceiling lights, flickering orange from the flames, and multicolored lights on the machines, left everything in strange flickering colored shadows. Susan took one last look at her dark, dirty, and noisy surroundings, and the countless shouting and leering men, before her head was turned and she had a smelly cock shoved in it. She fucked and sucked and had her tits felt on the hard, dirty conveyor. When the big crew cut brute shot his cum in her pussy, he pulled out and was quickly replaced by the second in what became a countless line of dirty men. There was the short, chunky, broad-shouldered Hispanic with the greasy black hair and black mustache.
There was the ancient gray-bearded white guy with practically no teeth. Then the large muscular black man with the dreadlocks and the enormous cock. The younger Polish and other Eastern European accents with the tattoos and piercings. The 350-pound morbidly obese man whose enormous belly hung over Susan's stomach. There were tattoos and piercings on places that Susan didn't know could be tattooed or pierced. Men of all sizes and shapes of cocks and colors and textures of pubic hair, thrusting in and out of her pussy and in her mouth, spray jism on her entire front torso, but mostly her face and belly. Eventually Susan stopped struggling, and her arms were no longer held. Instead, men placed cocks in them, and Susan jerked them off as she was fucked and sucked. She was expected to give real good hand jobs too, and if she didn't she got her tits slapped. There was no variety. It was endless assembly line sex by career assembly line workers. This is hell, Susan thought. Yes, the Christian wife thought, this is really hell. It's practically all here, the darkness and fire and smoke and heat and noise and stifling air. And the rough laughing monstrous men, eternal line of cocks using her vagina and mouth, and the countless hands grabbing her flesh. Pure hell. By the first half dozen or so fucks she received, she learned how to relax her vaginal muscles to keep them loose. What was it that basketball coach said? If you're getting raped, you might as well lay back and enjoy it. She laid back and endured it, anyways, and found that if she didn't fight it, her pussy stayed moist, and she could actually get physical pleasure despite the emotional pain. Even the constant groping of her tits, whether rough squeezes and tweaks, or more gentle massaging, came from rough calloused hands, and felt good to Susan's sensitive breasts. She managed to maintain a nearly steady degree of mini-orgasm, feeling the tingling and the involuntary shuddering, until she was so weak that she was lightheaded and dizzy. Susan lost all track of time. She had no idea when the foreman and the men from her office finally found her and led her, practically carried her, out of the factory, got her dressed, and back into the minivan. Chapter 12. Convention Hookers. Susan was ordered to fly to Las Vegas for a convention. Some months ago, this would have been the kind of perk she would look forward to. When she was back in the accounting department, traveling to warm climates was something she envied the sales and marketing staff doing. Now she was wary of what Gary had in mind for her while she was staying at a hotel and didn't have to go home to her husband at night. Susan flew out Thursday morning, a day after the conference started, and was booked for 2 days in a Vegas hotel near the convention center. A large number of the other employees were flying out, too, mostly the sales and marketing staff, but some of the women from other departments, too. The Vegas trip was apparently more of a reward for some of these people than an actual working trip, Susan presumed. In fact, two other women were on the same flight as Susan was, Mary, an attractive slender 45-year-old woman from purchasing, and Kelly, a pretty, 31-year-old wife, whose slender figure, despite a 10-month-old baby, was the envy of every mom in the company. Susan knew what she was hiding under her long coat, but she didn't notice that Mary was also wearing a long blazer over her skirt and blouse, and that Kelly wore a long winter coat over her sweater and slacks. When the flight arrived in Vegas, Susan and the other two women cabbed straight to the convention center. All three women, before they entered the convention floor, removed their outermost garments. It was then that it began to dawn on Susan that the other two women were in the same predicament as Susan was. Susan had been given orders to wear the dress that she'd worn at the last Christmas party, except that Gary had one of the male interns take it to a tailor and have it modified. The black halter dress now plunged to her waist and displayed more cleavage, which made it impossible to wear a bra under it. Her boobs were also hanging out the sides of the halter, and anyone standing to either side of her could see under her breasts right through to the other side. The lining had been removed from the top, so the silhouette of her areolas could be detected through the fabric, and her puffy nipples poked through it continuously. The hem had been raised to make it a micro-mini, and it had been taken in to the point that it was so tight that she could barely sit in it. And with no slip or hose allowed, her wine-colored thong was clearly visible from the front and the back. Susan then saw that while the new mom Kelly was wearing the same black dress slacks and blue scooping sweater that she often wore, she was not wearing a bra, and her round B-cup-sized breasts were jiggling freely, and her very dark long nipples were poking easily through the thin clinging fabric. Mary was wearing a short white skirt, and a short-sleeved white blouse. But as Susan stood to the left of Mary, she could see now that her blouse was unbuttoned halfway down her chest, and from the side Susan could easily see inside, to Mary's small white right braless breast. As Susan gawked, Mary caught her looking, and looked down in shame, but didn't adjust herself. Mary also wore a very detectable dark thong under her white skirt. Susan and the others arrived at their company's booth, wearing name tags, which displayed their own first name as well as the company's name in large letters. Susan saw several of the other female employees there, all dressed in what at first appeared their formal Christmas outfits, but upon closer inspection most were covering little or no underwear, exposing plenty of flesh and jiggle, and seemed shorter and tighter than they had at the Christmas party. Gary gave the women some time to walk around to visit the other exhibitors' booths, and then returned to their company's booth. Susan felt like bait walking around the hall, being stared at by so many strange men. She also saw men staring shamelessly into Mary's blouse at her exposed breast. Kelly also had many male admirers as her braless breasts bobbled down the aisles. Many of these men wound up at the company booth, where Gary schmoozed them, but also allowed them to hit on Susan and the other women. When the exhibitions closed for the day, everyone from Gary and Susan's company went out for dinner and drinks, and back to the hotel. Amazingly, none of the men from her company tried to grope her or hit on her. Then the women were ordered to check into their rooms, clean up,
and be at the company's hospitality suite by 8 p.m., where drinks would be served to the employees, clients, and prospective clients. Susan was compulsively punctual, but she held off going to the hospitality suite as long as she thought she could without getting Gary upset. When she arrived at the room, John and Walter, the two college interns that had stared down her top that first day, opened the door. Gary stood near the bar and motioned her over. The room was quite crowded. Most of the other women were visible, scattered around the room, standing with or sitting with the male prospective and current clients. Some of them were standing or sitting very close enough that some of the men had their hands all over Susan's female coworkers. Susan spotted several of the youngest girls that had recently joined the marketing or sales departments, their legs visible and their cleavage spilling out. There were several married women who, like Susan, were in their late 20s to mid-30s. There were even women in their 40s and early 50s. And there were even older women, near retirement age, pushing their breasts up and out. "You're just in time for the first show," Gary said to Susan.
"Show? What show?"
"We have a handful of the ladies do informal little shows for the crowd." Susan suddenly recoiled. "You aren't going to make me do a striptease like at the factory, are you?"
"No,"
replied Gary. "But Christy is going to do one now.
Look."
Susan looked over to the back of the room, by the closed curtains. In a cleared-out area stood Christy. Christy would probably fit most people's description of a MILF, a pretty athletic, very busted brunette. She was in her mid-40s, but worked out daily, so she was in great shape, with built-up calves, and trim waistline, and big round breasts that generally stuck straight out in her bra like they were defying gravity. Susan once wondered if the obviously vain Christy had had a boob job. She was about to find out. One of the interns started a music CD in a small CD player at the back of the room. AC/DC's?
"Highway to Hell"
boomed out of the speakers, and Christy started to dance in her short low-cut formal gown, her cleavage bouncing out the top. Then she started to strip. Christy unzipped her dress and back, and slowly pulled the dress's straps off. Soon the dress was dropped to her waist, displaying a lacy lavender bra. The dress was dropped, and matching lavender panties and garters were displayed. When the bra was dropped, Susan got her answer. Christy's breasts did seem quite natural, in the way they jiggled and sloped down. Christy could work out, but she couldn't fight gravity completely. Still, her sloping breasts looked attractive to Susan, who admired them as they bobbled freely. When Christy's panties were removed, Susan also admired her flat stomach and stared at Christy's completely shaved pussy. When Christy finished her dance, she picked up her garments and walked away naked to a smattering of applause.
"How do you like the ladies' dresses?"
Gary asked Susan. Susan replied with a question.
"Did you alter all of their Christmas gowns?"
"Most of them. Women tell their husbands that they can't wear the same expensive gown twice, so the husbands will never know."
"Are you blackmailing all of these women?"
"Yeah, pretty much all of them," laughed Gary.
"Oh, there's a couple of the young bimbos that do this to get raises or promotions, or just because they're basically sluts. But mostly we have dirt on all these women."
"You got sex photos of all of these women?"
"Oh, we got them in a variety of ways.
Most people have something in their past, and we have friends in the police departments and state's attorney's office and private detectives, so we dig that stuff up. And some of them have husbands that have done something wrong. We'll catch them embezzling, with drug charges, adultery. Alana over there, her husband is supposed to get deported, but we can intervene. Kelly's baby needs a risky surgery, and the surgeon won't perform it without insurance, and our insurance won't cover it without an appeal from us. And when we can't find some dirt on someone, we'll plant some."
Susan looked over to see Marie, Byron Stout, fairly busted, mid-60s brunette secretary, giving head to some guy leaning against the wall.
"You're making Marie do this?
She's been with the company for decades. Her husband has a gambling problem. And she's the best cocksucker in the company.
But why put us through this?"
asked Susan.
"Why not just hire a bunch of hookers for your clients?"
"Several reasons. For one thing, a lot of our competition does that. Then there is a risk of getting busted for that. If the Vegas cops spotted a bunch of known hookers coming to our room, they'd either arrest us or we'd have to pay them off. The clients know that too. Also, I don't have the budget to afford expensive hookers."
Gary chuckled.
"But mainly because many of our prospective clients would prefer real, regular, everyday, amateur women to screw around with than a paid whore. Some of these women are, pretty old.
A couple of them aren't all that attractive,"
commented Susan. Gary retorted. "Different guys want different types of women.
Oh, the young ones are very, very popular. But trust me, a lot of men like mature, experienced women. The more conservative and seemingly out of their element here, the better."
Music started again, and Susan looked up to see Julie dancing in the back. Julie was a fairly large woman, probably in her late 50s, and not in the best of shape.
Fat? At least overweight, verging on fat.
"Case in point, here's Julie,"
said Gary.
"Not the youngest or most svelte of women. But as I said, some men like older women. Some men really like heavy women, a lot heavier than Julie, even. And—"
Gary paused and smiled.
"She's got huge tits."
Gary was right on his last point. As Julie removed her dress, she danced in nylons and black garters, black silk panties, a black corset helping to hide her belly, and a large black bra with smooth half cups, allowing mountains of her boobs to spill out the top and bounce and jiggle all over. When she removed her bra, allowing her big breasts to spill down over her corset and dance, Susan estimated that each breast was approximately the size of a bowling ball. As Julie received her applause and left the room,
Susan saw Molly walk out of a bedroom and head to the back of the room. Molly was wearing a wedding dress. Molly was a newlywed, having been married just a few weeks before. Gary could still surprise Susan. She gasped.
Is that Molly's actual wedding dress?
Gary chuckled and said.
Yeah, a last-minute moment of inspiration on my part. That's the real dress she was married in, and I told her to wear all of the same undergarments and everything. I only gave her a new garter.
Susan watched in sympathy as the young, pretty, virginal-looking brunette newlywed danced in her gorgeous white strapless gown. The CD player blared out.
Celebrate good times, come on!
Her C-cup cleavage danced out the top. Molly reached behind her back and awkwardly worked the buttons, until she's undid enough of them to tug the dress down her waist, exposing her white strapless bra. When the dress and petticoats were finally dropped, Molly danced in her hose and white garters, and white silk panties. And her new blue garter. She reached back and unhooked the strapless bra, and when it dropped the bride danced topless, showing the crowd her large jiggling breasts, her honeymoon tan lines still very apparent. And finally, when her silky panties were lowered, her naked pussy with a trimmed bush, and nice round pale buttocks. As new employee Rose, a slender blonde, and 40-something Donna, began a lesbian show, kissing and undressing each other in front of the crowd, Gary called the two interns, John and Walter, over. He ordered them to
play with Susan just a little. Nothing heavy, just enough to get her aroused. I thought you would be saving me for the clients, said Susan to Gary.
I am.
I'm just fluffing you a little,
Gary said.
Fluffing?
Yeah.
Like they do in porn films. Just getting you ready for your performance.
Susan's adrenaline started pumping.
What's my performance?
As John reached inside Susan's halter top and softly played with her tit, Walter reached under her skirt, worked a finger inside of her thong, and gently massaged her labia. Susan's attention was torn between the two young men publicly feeling her up, and Gary's announcement of a
performance. Gary continued. Just casually remove your clothes, lie on the carpet, and play with yourself. You want me to masturbate in front of people?
Exactly. Masturbate to an orgasm. I expect a real orgasm, but if you're really desperate you can fake it after a while.
Here, I got you these, in case you need help.
Gary reached behind the bar, and produced two sex toys, one small yellow vibrator, and a 5-inch pink dildo.
Oh, please don't make me use those.
Susan begged.
You don't have to, but take them up there, in case you need them.
Susan wasted no more time arguing with Gary. When the two lesbians were done playing with themselves and vacated the area back by the curtains, Susan hesitantly stepped before the crowd, dropping the two sex toys on the carpet. Somebody started some soft music. Susan looked around at her audience, dozens of her own co-workers, male and female, commingled with strange men, some of whom Susan had seen on the convention floor earlier, and familiar male clients. Susan unzipped her dress on the side, and lowered her halter straps off her shoulders. When the dress fell, Susan stood in her wine-colored thong, her perky boobs, already drawing ass from the crowd. The blackmailed wife slowly slid her thongs down her legs and stepped out of them, and her heels. Naked except for her necklace and earrings, she lied on the carpet. One of the interns handed her a throw pillow, which she put under her head. Susan had to admit to herself that it was pretty erotic having both males and females watching her. But she decided that the only way that she was going to get through this was to pretend that she was alone in her own bedroom, and playing with herself. So, like at home, Susan started massaging her own breasts, tugging at her erect nipples. Susan's left hand slid down to her thighs, and tickled the inside of her thighs, slowly working around her pussy, combing her fingers through her pubic hair. She let off an involuntary shiver. Closing her eyes, she slid her fingers up and down her labia, discovering that she was already quite wet. She worked her middle finger into her pussy. She moaned. She fingered herself, occasionally opening her eyes to see who was watching her. Much of the crowd had stood and moved closer to see the naked woman on the floor, crowding around Susan in a semicircle. When things didn't progress, Susan moved her right hand down, and rubbed her clit with her right ring and middle fingers. Without even thinking about what she was doing, she moved her left hand underneath herself, and tickled her asshole with her middle finger. The move drew some giggles from the crowd, which slowed Susan's arousal. Susan wanted to come soon, but found her mood stuck. At home, she would have used her hairbrush handle on her pussy. She remembered the dildo. She found it on the carpet nearby, and moved it to her pink pussy lips. She slowly worked it in several inches.
Wah!
She moaned, her torso writhing. She picked up the vibrator, and found the on button. At home, she had no vibrator. She would be embarrassed for her husband to find such a thing, but she did sometimes use an electric toothbrush as a vibrator, so she knew what she liked. She started the vibrator down on her pussy lips, arching her pelvis up to meet it, moving the dildo further into her pussy.
Oh. Oh, HHH.
She slid the nubby end of the vibrator up to her clit.
That did it. Huh. Leah. W-ho.
Susan left the dildo inside of her, while her right hand held the vibrator to her clit. She thrust her hips and flapped her thighs in and out, fucking her fingers, her body writhing, her tits jiggling.
Oh. Oh. Ha 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 ha.
Uh-huh. Susan shook and shuddered on the carpet, in front of the dozens of people, with her eyes rolled up into the back of her head. The crowd burst into applause as Susan lay curled up on the carpet, panting. John and Walter escorted the naked Susan from the back of the room to the front. Susan was allowed to sit in a chair and recuperate for a few moments, watching Aliyah do her show.
Susan could never remember if Aliyah was Indian or Pakistani, but she always wore traditional robes and kept her head covered. She was a mature woman, but attractive and with what seemed to be a respectable figure beneath her burqa. Susan got to watch Aliyah dance and slowly remove her outer garments, until she exposed a shocking pink bra and panties. At this point, John and Walter escorted Susan to a bedroom, but not before Susan looked back to see Aliyah's naked breasts and dark nipples and full bush. In the bedroom there were two double beds, and both were occupied. On the bed to the left was Julie, the huge-tit mature woman. She was on her back, and a middle-aged man was straddling her chest, and was sliding his cock between her gigantic tits. He held the two big jugs together, his cock completely engulfed, as he slid his unit in and out of her wobbling cleavage. Next to Julie, on the same bed, was the bride Molly. Her beautiful silky wedding dress was back on her, but her underwear wasn't. Flat on her back, there was a gray-haired man standing between her legs. Molly's feet were thrown up over the man's shoulders. Molly's wedding dress and petticoats were pushed up to her waist, and the man was fucking her hard. Molly's large white breasts were out of the top of her dress, dancing on her chest, as two men stood behind and next to her, groping them. The bed on the right side was occupied by Kelly, the young mother that had arrived on the same plane as Susan. Kelly was naked, and fucking an older Japanese man beneath her, her slightly sagging breasts bouncing on her slender frame, her legs spread around him. The Japanese man called for Susan.
You.
Yes, you. Come over and join us.
Sit here.
On my face. Susan was close in age and size to Kelly. She wondered if they were deliberately paired up to be with the Japanese man. She walked over to them, obediently climbed on the bed, and sat on the man's face. Susan wiggled her bottom to get the correct angle. Kelly was behind Susan, bouncing on his cock. Susan felt Kelly press her breasts into Susan's back. The Japanese man looked up into Susan's pussy, reaching up and groping her all over, her breasts, thighs, ass. He also fondled Kelly's butt and breasts. On the Japanese man's orders, Kelly reached around and fondled Susan's breasts.
Now you kiss, please.
He ordered. Susan pressed her lips to the pretty brunette's lips, and Susan slid her tongue into Kelly's mouth. Susan glanced at the other bed to see that Julie was getting fucked now, her big tits half hanging to her sides but holding with gravity fairly well, bobbling all over as she was fucked hard. And the bride Molly was now on her knees, getting fucked from behind, and sucking off one of the other men as her dangling breasts were milked. Susan and Kelly got into a rhythm on the Japanese man, Kelly thrusting her hips, and Susan arching forward and back subtly to the man's deft licking. As he ate her pussy, his little nose dug into her clit. Susan and Kelly were both panting and moaning. Kelly was moaning in a faster rhythm, but soon Susan caught up with her, and both were panting in unison.
Ha ha ha!
Like a choo-choo train on the Japanese man. Susan was surprised that she could orgasm so quick, having just had a whopper in the other room. But as Kelly shouted out and shuddered on the Japanese cock, Susan wrapped her thighs around the Japanese gentleman, nearly smothering him, as she had her orgasm. When the Japanese man was through with her, Susan was taken by another half-dozen men, in various positions, in all her holes, with and without other women. She watched many of the other women escort clients back to their own rooms, but Susan stayed in the bedroom. Finally, she was allowed a break, and she staggered naked out of the bedroom and into the suite. The clients were all gone. All that were left were Gary and some of the other male employees, and a half-dozen other nude or semi-nude women. Gary was naked, and he playing some sort of game with the other women, having them stand around him as her felt their tits. He had Julie on her knees wrapping her giant tits around his cock, and bride Molly thrusting her nipple into his mouth. He had Susan join him, making her rub her tits against him. Next was a pussy game, where Gary fingered two pussies, licked a third pussy, and slid his cock into a fourth pussy. Susan was exhausted, but helped wherever she could with her boss. It was a mixed feeling on one hand. Susan knew that she wasn't alone, that there were other women that shared her problem. It made her feel better for some reason. But then she also realized that there was no immediate end to her situation, that Gary wouldn't just tire of her. She imagined herself like Marie, pushing retirement age and still forced to service horny men daily as well as perform well in a regular job. She accepted it. As her boss nibbled on her, perky boobs, and slid his big cock into her pussy one more time, she knew this was now her career, that she could hide this from her poor husband forever the way the other women have, and be a corporate slut. The end. This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network. Please visit our other podcasts, their links are in the description of this episode. Both the Erotica Podcast and the Erotica Taboo Podcast offer bonus episodes for as little as $2 per month. Thank you for listening.